election for January. A patriot made his way into the chambers of the United States Senate Thursday. Prior to an appearance by Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice before the Senate Appropriations Committee, a man cried out, quote, "How many of you have children in this illegal and immoral war?" End quote. The man also yelled, quote, "Blood is on your hands and you cannot wash it away," end quote, as Ms. Rice began her testimony. The man was taken into custody and removed from the hallowed halls of the Senate. For the Head On Radio News Network, I'm Bruce Birch.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, good evening. This is one of those screaming kind of nights, isn't it? I'm Bob Kincaid. And do you guys remember Saturday morning TV? Do you remember the Land of the Lost? The happy little family? Well, there was the dad and the two kids.
Will and Holly.
Yeah, Will and Holly. Don't remember the dad's name. Was there a mom?
No, she died.
Okay, she died. Kind of like the opposite of Cat in the Hat. There was no dad in the Cat in the Hat, just the mom. They went paddling down the river and whatever, and then next thing you know, they're in a whirlpool, and they're getting sucked through the whirlpool, and next thing you know, they're in a land of dinosaurs and slee stacks, and little dude, Ronnie Howard's brother with the fur glued on.
He was cute.
I think I was on that raft. Because there are days like that. I mean, this isn't even Friday, and it is, I mean, this is eyes rolled back in the back of your head weirdness today. I mean, neck deep Republican bizarre stuff. Like I said, the kind of stuff that, well, you know, oh, look, a dinosaur. That kind of weird. I mean, okay, let's, There it was. Just go ahead and bring it up there. Pot it up, please. Shortly before the show, our dear friend CB in Northern California emailed me a link from something at Crooks and Liars. And I watched the thing and I emailed it back and I said, CB, you wouldn't pull old Bob's leg now, would you? This isn't something you dug up at the Onion now, is it? There's a guy, and our good buddy Bruce Birch, whom you heard on the news there at the top of the hour, maybe he could look into Robert Jordan for us, because I think Robert Jordan's been hanging out with the slee stacks a little too much, really. I can't show you the pictures because this is radio, but the audio speaks for itself, and we'll talk a little bit about the pictures that go with it. You can go to crooksandliars.com and have a look at it there. This is said to be real. Now, if I'm getting my chain jerked on this, I will apologize later, but the thing is, I don't think I'm getting my chain jerked. I think this is real. Roll it, Agnes.
If you're a conservative Republican, watching the news these days can make you feel as though you are in the Twilight Zone. Americans are under attack from Islamic extremists in every corner of the world. Homosexuals are mocking holy matrimony, and the lesbians and feminists are attacking everything sacred. Liberal judges have completely rewritten the Constitution. You can burn the American flag and kill a million babies a year, but you can't post the Ten Commandments or say God in posts. Seven out of every 10 black children are born out of wedlock, and Jackson and Sharpton claim the answer is racial quotas. And the aliens are here, but they didn't come in a spaceship. They came across our unguarded Mexican border by the millions.
I'm Vernon Robinson. If you send me to Congress, I'll send that back to the Twilight Zone. I approve of this message and of traditional American values.
I didn't make this up. I did not make that up.
I hope he's making it up.
No, this is... I'm stunned. I am absolutely stunned. And you got it. Now, please, don't leave the show. Okay? Don't leave the show. But run, during a break or something, go over and watch this thing at Crooks and Liars. It will make your hair curl. I mean, it'll make the blood drain out of your face. The we just played you the audio. You didn't get the video. Like the line, did you hear the line? And 7 out of 10 black babies are in America are born out of wedlock. You know what they do? They flash to a mug shot of Jesse Jackson for that line.
They had children
this,
born on there.
This is their America. This is the America that is posited by the same people who in South Dakota declare that women can no longer control their bodies. This is the America of the weirdos in the state of Missouri who declare that Christianity, some version of it, is the official state religion of Missouri. And today I find out that this is the America of a couple of good, godly, upstanding, moral Republicans in the state of Tennessee who have introduced legislation in the Tennessee State House to ban, and I'm not kidding, dildos. And speaking of dildos, George Bush signed the new Patriot Act into law today, and we are all screwed. We are up to our necks in bizarre today. I will probably revisit Robert Jordan a few times. We're going to revisit because, let's see, oh yeah, and the lesbians and the feminists are attacking everything sacred. Did you catch that line? The lesbians and the feminists are attacking everything sacred. You can burn a flag and you can kill a million babies a year, but you can't say God in the Pledge of Allegiance. Really? You can't? Since when? Where? Okay, Bruce, you can talk about Vernon Robinson. We want to be talking about... Yeah. Not Robinson. Vernon Roberts. Isn't that this guy's name? Vernon Roberts? Oh, no, Roberts. Vernon Roberts. This is stunning. And I think the guy's black. You can't really tell with the way they do the whole black and white monochromatic, because there's no color in this. And it flashes at the end to Leave It to Beaver with Jerry Mathers flashing his little face through the back window of their old the Cleaver's old Plymouth or whatever the hell it was. I'm astonished. I am just blown away with all of this. But there's a con job coming. Agnes, yeah. Are you there, Bruce?
I am indeed, Bob. I am, Vernon Robertson is a freak. he really is.
Well, I think he's Vernon Roberts.
Actually, it's Robinson. Robinson.
Oh, am I, okay.
And actually, and I just sent a link over to Agnes, but... He ran for Congress here, and didn't make it through the primary. He was running against, I can't think of the lady's name, Virginia Fox. in the 5th District.
Yeah.
Okay.
And because Richard Burr was vacating that seat to run for the Senate, which he won handily. And Virginia and Vernon Robertson, were you know, in a skirmish over who to. And this is a very, very, very conservative district. It's the 5th District of North Carolina. And he, you know, so he was running as a black guy, a racist black guy, in a conservative district. It was the damnedest thing I ever saw.
I mean, I honest to God, I thought CB was playing with me, Bruce. You couldn't write this and hang it up on the Onion and have them buy it from you. I mean, this is crazy stuff.
I think the weirdest thing was that it actually sounded like William Shatner's voice, didn't it?
it's all black and white, and it's, you know, have you seen this thing?
Yeah, I've seen it. It was on TV. It was running on TV here for a while.
No.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
No. Somebody gave him money to put that on TV in North Carolina?
Yeah.
Dude, I started out with Land of the Lost. I think you live in Lidsville.
Well, you know, sometimes I wonder. This is, you know, between, you know, I don't want to go back to the police spying scandal, but, you know, this week we had, they packed city council. There's like over 100 people to protest against the police spying scandal here locally. So, but you know, there are some people that do make some good sense around here. They're just not in elected office.
They're not welcome in polite North Carolina society.
That's right. Well, you know, and Vernon also, I'm understanding that Vernon has filed now to run against Brad Miller in the 13th District. So we're going to be seeing Vernon, more of Vernon.
Has he got a snowball's chance in hell? Tell me, please.
Absolutely not.
Just
Brad Miller's district runs. It's basically probably one of the most liberal districts in North Carolina. It stretches from Greensboro over to Raleigh, and it's very, yeah, that, you know, he
it's
he,
where
he
the normal people live.
Time, so
yeah,
shouldn't be a problem.
Well, I'm just astonished with this, Bruce. this made my little head hurt. Right, you know, the CB sent it to me right before the program, and I'm like, stop the presses! Oh, we're starting with this tonight. Because, let's see, our pal AJ at ComArmageddon.com sends me the Tennessee legislature story about the felony possession of sex toy.
And, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I'm just not ready. I mean, I'm calmly going through this as, you know, Mr. News Guy. Oh, we'll have to talk about the Dubai firm, and we'll have to talk about Rumsfeld, and we'll talk. And then
Did you hear about the thing down in Texas where they're actually pulling people over to tell them that they're driving good now?
No.
I mean, seriously. This was, you know, I heard this on the Hartman show earlier today. I was like, what?
Oh, yeah. Like courtesy patrol kind? You're doing a wonderful job, sir. Yeah,
pulling them over and giving them baseball tickets. That's what I understand.
Yeah, that's kind of nice. I mean, you know, at least they're not pulling them over and, you know, lynching them. I mean, you know, that's kind of the Texas. Okay, lay off
Texas.
Dragging them
behind the pickup truck.
Yes. Yes. Oh, brother.
No,
we live in the land of the weird. My God in heaven! I've got a segment of one of my old shows, and I started it off by saying, and you remember Chan Chandler in the East Waynesville Baptist Church down there?
Oh yes, he was the one who kicked out all of the Kerry supporters.
Yeah,
yes.
the excommunicating Baptist. That still just doesn't get all the way around my brain. But I started off a rant on that a couple of years or so ago. By saying, you know, this isn't a story out of West Virginia, and West Virginia we tend to be a little bit more normal than a lot of other places in the country simply because we don't have nearly as many Republicans. And I went on to say, now, in North Carolina, you can't swing a dead cat without hitting a Republican, and that they're really thick in places like East Waynesville.
Oh, yes.
I'm not gooning
on
you.
Actually, I'm going to say that there's probably not as many Republicans as there are Klan members.
What? That's a distinction without a difference.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. I've been living in the big city of Greensboro too long.
I mean, here's this dude here, and he's a black man running for the Klan vote?
Okay,
I mean, am I getting that right?
Actually, let me give you his website address. It's vernonrobinson.com, and that'll tell you everything about, oh, my gosh. He says, Brad Miller is out of touch, and soon he'll be out of Congress. This is what he's saying. I don't know. Oh, he's got some new ads.
Oh, this guy is like out of he's a skit from Dave Chappelle.
He even has an ad, a radio ad, Bob, called "Don't Blame It on Whitey."
No.
Oh, no.
Yes, he does.
No, he doesn't. Oh, this is Screw with Bob night. Oh,
okay.
No. Don't, I hurt my back earlier today. Don't make me whip my neck around. Oh, no. Don't mess with me.
I'm thinking he might,
Lyndon
LaRouche's bunch, too, but I don't know.
Don't blame it on Whitey?
Yeah, that's the name of the ad.
Has he got a link on his page to International Zionist Banking Conspiracy while he's at it?
Wait a minute. Maybe? Let's see. Let's look into the news section. It's, good. Look, it says Purple Finger for Freedom.
Oh, my God.
Okay. You have Vernon's a nutbag. There's no doubt in my mind about it. He's like Jesse Helms, you know, in a slightly younger, darker body or something.
So. Oh, this is just too weird.
Maybe we can get him on the radio program, eh?
let's don't and say we didn't. Oh, my heavenly days. Well, Bruce,
okay.
I appreciate it, brother. I appreciate the insight. At least we know this guy's real, and with any luck at all, there's no one in North Carolina quite stupid enough to put him in office.
Well, I don't think so. Not in the 13th district, anyway.
Thank heaven for small favors.
There you go.
All right. Later, Bruce.
Talk to you later.
Bye now. 22 minutes after the... hour, and I don't know, somewhere along the way tonight there may be medication involved, because I can't take this. The legislation I mentioned in Tennessee, those items that are now to be prohibited, marital aids, they're frequently referred to. There's an exception in the law that allows professors and students to possess them if it is in the legitimate course of inquiry in a class in school. That's right. John and Marcia can't go to the little shop with the painted out windows and get, you know, one of those things, but the professor can pass them out to his students. And this is legislation that was introduced in the Tennessee Senate by Republicans. And it just makes my little head hurt. And then there's the photograph. Oh, yes, there's the photograph. If you run on over to Yahoo.com and you go to news and you find the story about dear leaders signing the new Patriot Act into law today, over to your left, there's something that says slideshow. And I will leave you to guess which photo I'm about, but... if you go through that slideshow of the signing ceremony for the new Patriot Act, and we've all seen a whole boatload of bizarre photographs. This is another one of those days in the Land of the Lost. We've all seen a boatload of weird photographs of George W. Bush. But this one takes the cake. This is, go see it. It just do the slideshow thing and it'll click through. And the minute the photo comes up, you'll go, oh, that's the one Bob's talking about. On the day with the Tennessee story, to get this photo of George Bush is too much. I predict this will be on Bart Kopp's page in a day or so. This will be all over the internet in a day or so. I mean, of all, I mean, you know, falling off the Segway, the thing with the bruise and the scrape from the pretzel and the thing with the fight with the cedar and the scrape on the receding hairline. No, this is the be all and end all of just truly weird photographs of George W. Bush. And we'll just see how dirty the collective mind of the listeners to this program is once you see it, because you're going to go wild. You're going to want to run out into the yard, dip your head in a bucket of lye, pluck your eyeballs out, and run screaming off a cliff after you see this one. Oh, the pain. Oh, the pain. My eyes, they're burning. I mean, that's the kind of thing you're going to say. So we've got that, and we haven't even gotten to the real news yet. But we will get to the real news. And we will get to your thoughts on the real news, which are actually probably more important than anything. It is more important than anything else that we do here. Now, of course, you know how to get in touch with the program. It's relatively easy. The phone number is 877-443-2366. That's 877, the number 4, Head On. This is Head On, and I'm Bob Kincaid.
Hey, listen, tell me something, John. Do you guys eat a lot of mangoes down there?
Not enough to base a foreign policy on.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. We don't eat that many of them here either.
The United States is India's largest trading partner, and India is one of the United States' fastest growing export markets. And oh, by the way, Mr. Prime Minister, the United States is looking forward to eating Indian mangoes.
That's right. It's March Mango Madness. Nukes for mangoes, mangoes for nukes. Join Bruce and I, John Fox, this weekend, Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network. Catch us at fourthestateradio.com or headonradionetwork.com.
Found a reason, I don't need an excuse. I've got this time on my hands. You are the one to abuse. Yes, I'm.
Hey, this is Bruce Birch, and here's one of my recent rants on George Bush. He's living an opposite world. It's like everything that he says, it's just completely the opposite to reality. Okay, he says that the low level of public support for his policies in Iraq showed that the public had been distracted from achievements made in that country by images of violence on the news. So he's blaming the news. He's blaming the news for reporting the freaking truth, rather than his propaganda, which he likes to catapult. All right. Well, I just wanted to deviate from the Alito stuff because I think it's pretty important to remember how stupid the president is. You know, because, you know, we need to know how stupid he is, right?
And so, in my speech to the nation, whatever you want to call it, speech to the nation. I asked Americans to give 4,000 years, 4,000 hours over the next, of the rest of your life, of service to America. That's what I asked. I said, 4,000 hours.
Join me, Bruce Birch, every Sunday evening, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, as we point out the stupidity of the Bush regime. AllThingsReconsidered.org.
For the broken hearted.
It's Oxycontin Free Radio. Head on with Bob Kincaid.
Yes, it is. And for once, I kind of wish that it wasn't. Yeah, it's one of those curses of not being a bulletproof 20-year-old anymore. I absolutely have no idea what happened. I was talking on the phone. I went to set the phone down, and fire ran all over my neck and my back and up my spine, and it hurts real bad, and I'd like to have some of that OxyContin right now. Thank you very much. But it is half past the hour, and as I said before, if you want to get involved, jump in, get your share your thoughts, I hope you will do so. 877, the number 4, head on. 877-443-2366, and it's equally easy to reach us by email. That is bob@headonradio.com. And we just heard from our pal AJ at comearmageddon.blogspot.com talking about the purple finger for freedom. Sounds like a marital aid to me. This should be immediately investigated by the church. Pervert. What a strange little nation. No, there's nothing little about it. What a strange, great, big, dangerous nation these religious freaks are turning us into. There's a story out there, and yeah, there's lots of news here and there about Rumsfeld and the thing about whether it's a civil war, and but more than anything else, or not more than anything else, well, you know how I love organizations like the American Family Association and James Dobson's Focus on the Family. Well, an ad came out recently. The ad was by an organization called DEFCON. Catchy, huh? DEFCON, a newspaper ad. And it's a big splashy thing, and it shows pictures of Ralph Reed, former executive director, Christian Coalition, the Reverend Lewis R. Sheldon, Traditional Values Coalition, and, of course, everybody's friend, James Dobson, of Focus on the Family. And the big old splashy headline says, this is cute, I like these guys. These religious leaders have a serious gambling problem. For years, they've stood at the pinnacle of power in this country, spouting pieties while delivering to the Bush-Cheney White House and its corporate friends the votes of millions of their followers. Now, James Dobson, Lou Sheldon, and Ralph Reed find themselves exposed as base hypocrites, knee-deep in the muck of the Jack Abramoff scandal. Gambling, all types of gambling, is driven by greed and subsists on greed. James Dobson, 2006. This is the same James Dobson whose voice you could have heard on radio commercials paid for by Jack Abramoff's Indian casino clients, it says. These casinos gave millions to Jack Abramoff to limit competition. Lou Sheldon, or Lucky Louie, as Abramoff called him, woo, heads the Traditional Values Coalition, which received thousands of dollars to oppose a federal bill that would have limited online betting. Quote, I need to start humping in corporate accounts, unquote. Ralph Reed, 1998. Ralph Reed wrote those words to Jack Abramoff. His prayers were answered. In 1999, he received over $1 million from Abramoff's client, the Choctaw Indians. During 2001 and 2002, he got $4 million from Abramoff and his partners, all to promote the gambling interests of casinos. Dobson, Reed, and Sheldon have formed an unholy alliance with the Bush administration to wage war against our Constitution, to intrude in our personal lives. They led the fight to involve government in the Terry Schiavo case. They're among the leading opponents of stem cell research. All the time, they must have been betting they wouldn't get caught taking their 30 pieces of silver and selling our millions, and selling out the millions who believed in them. They were wrong. And it's paid for by DEFCON, the campaign to defend the Constitution. DEFCONAmerica.org, if you want to go by and have a look. Sounds like some Sounds like some fighters to me, something that we could use a significant number more of. And then, of course, today in my email box, bob@headonradio.com, I get this from the American Family Association. Left-wing group uses lies to slander Dr. Dobson. Really?
Hmm.
No, this is interesting. I'm looking at this. I got it in my hand. It's in print. These dumbasses don't even know the difference between libel and slander. If this is anything, it's a libel. What I'm doing now is slander. If I was slandering.
But you're not.
But I'm not. We're just... Because truth is an absolute defense. So that's why you'll hear, oh, it's not fair, they're slandering, they're libeling, blah, 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 blah. And they will never bring a lawsuit against DEFCON. Dobson won't, because truth is an absolute defense to a charge of slander or libel. And this is, in this case, it's libel. But, you know, we're talking about the religious right, and, you know, brains is not something that they're generally known for. They hate brains, they hate science, they hate learning, they hate everything that has made humankind rise from the ashes of you know, religious intolerance and religious terror and religious superstition and everything that held humankind back for, you know, well, basically since the fall of the Roman Empire. Right? Yeah. I tell you what, they cry and they complain. The American Family Association does. But more than that, they lie. Anybody who knows Dr. Dobson knows this is nothing more than a libelous charge. Oh, look, they got it right that time. A libelous charge of guilt by association. Dr. Dobson has opposed gambling all his life. He served on the congression. Yeah, but when it came, when the rubber hit the road and there's money to be had, oh, he was right there. Now, you know, of course, later on, there's a statement from Dr. Dobson. I have never met, nor have I been a member of anyone who knows who Jack Abramoff is. Jack Abramoff was known by everybody who was anybody who wanted money in that religious corporatist right-wing corridor of filth and hate. Of course, Dr. Dobson knows Mr. Abramoff. Let's go to the phones. Luke is with us. Hey, Luke, you're head on.
Hi, Bob. Well, just calling to say hello from the seventh ring of hell.
Yeah, it is kind of Tennessee night tonight, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, one thing from last night. The person you were trying to think of, I don't know if you were trying to think about the person that is now our ambassador to Poland.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Victor Ash.
Victor Ash, yes, former mayor of Knoxville, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, his mom and his dad, they were up in it, and apparently Victor just kind of fell into it by DNA. You know how that is.
Oh, exactly.
But, no, I went over to Yahoo. Now, is the one you're talking about the thing where he's got both hands on the desk and kind of half standing up?
Well, you know, the phrase I had was bent over.
Well, I told Addis, I said, if somebody had been standing there in front of him with a bucket, I'd have thought he was hurling.
Well, yeah.
That's what he looks like. I mean, he looks like he's been...
Yeah, but look at the two freaks behind him. Now, the one in the photograph... That, yeah, and boy, talking about photographs on the radio, this is just
it's
poison.
Number five,
Luke.
If anybody goes there.
Yeah, number five on the
34.
List.
34. Oh, God, it's like... Oh.
Well, look, where's... What in God's name is James Sensenbrenner looking at, Luke?
I try not to think about him. I tell you, it's me.
He makes my head hurt.
Oh, he's the one. I'm just waiting for if we ever take control, just to see the first time John Conyers gets to say, sit down, shut up.
Yeah, that would be a precious moment in American history, wouldn't it?
And I want the C-SPAN cameras right on him. Not take off for about 10, 20 seconds. But I went over to Crooks and Liars and took a quick look at that. It's like, I've heard two, three people. I've heard like Stephanie Miller and others talk about it, said, it's bad when you realize that sometimes you're doing these stories and you have to say, is this a real headline or is this from The Onion?
Yeah, that's where I was. I thought I was being fooled with, you know, because we're all practical jokers.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, some of them nowadays are so good, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's like, say, you go over and you look at that and it's like, didn't somebody at some TV station just say, go away? You know, you can't run this. I don't care what, you know, I don't care how much money you got. Go away.
And the aliens have come. But they didn't come from space. They came from Mexico. Oh, my God.
Now, if you want the phone right now on this evening, if anybody wants to go over and call them every kind of name of the book, because I wrote them a nice little, not a dirty email, but what I told them, is if you go over to CNN right now, Wolf Blitzer will tell you that this is everything that was all Republicans. Apparently the Democrats were on another planet at the time. But that the Democrats had nothing to do with stopping the port deal.
Oh, I know. Well, you know, to a certain extent, we didn't. There were, you know, the DLC
the
said
is, though, we've been on this for forever. You know what I mean? People like Schumer and Corzine before he went to the governorship, and like now Menendez since he's come in, even Hillary, they've been on this. You know what I mean? Anybody, most of them that have port as part of their group have been on this when we were sitting there pouring money into the airplane industry. It's like, guys, you do realize most stuff doesn't come in by airplane around here. Most stuff comes in on those big little old boats.
Yeah, the ones with all the boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, and the thing is, it was also, and I don't want to sell the American people short on this one either, Luke. It was you. It was me. It was Wayne. It was the people who listened to this program. It was people listening to liberal talk all over this country who started calling and raising a ruckus.
And I got to give one conservative an attaboy for this one, and that's Lou Dobbs.
Yeah.
Because Lou Dobbs has rode this thing with spurs on, I tell you.
Well, he has. I think... I don't know. I think Lou's having a little trouble being part of the whole Bush junta these days.
Well, it's one of those things. I think, like you say, I think even he's getting to the point. It's like he's wondering if he's looking at the onion.
Yeah.
He's going, you know, I believe some things, but I mean, you know.
But
it's just like saying, do you want me to stick my head in the jet engine while I'm at it? You know, it's like, you know, somewhere. What's the old saying? It's the old saying. You know, would don't do something and tell me it's raining, you know.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, there's limits to certain people. I think we've reached Lou's.
Yeah, but the thing is, I'm not willing to grant Lou Dobbs full absolution.
Oh, no.
Luke,
just on this
because
issue.
He's an enabler. Oh, Lord God, Billy Bob, he was an enabler.
But on this issue, I'll give him credit for it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, this one, well him and Cafferty. Cafferty's the one I've been loving watching on this.
Yeah, well, you know.
Cafferty's just sort of like looking at it going, what are you people thinking?
Well, I think when they pulled Cafferty off of that god-awful morning show that CNN has with Solenoid O'Brien.
Yeah, Bill Bryan.
Yeah, I think when they pulled him off of that he realized where it was all going. And the gloves sort of came off. And, you know, frankly, I think there's a reason they won't let him in the same room with Wolf Blitzer.
I think they want him somewhere where they can, like most of them, where they can turn the switch off.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like, you know, we've always seen on most of these shows, whenever they try to allow a Democrat on, you notice most of the time it's on a remote, so they can cut them off. They'll have the Republican in the room with them, so they can talk all they want to, but they'll have a Democrat somewhere where if worse comes to worse, they can always give the throat sign, and my golly, he's gone there. Sorry about that. We lost the connection.
Yeah, how about that?
So, but...
That's pretty much how it works.
It'll be interesting. Like I say, I'll wait till tomorrow night and watch tomorrow. It'll be good on this one.
I'm going to have to figure out a way to tape it or get somebody to TiVo it for me or something. I can't wait till I'm all high-tech. I have to catch it in reruns.
That's okay. It's one of those things. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. Lost myself there for a second. Coming back. But it's on this thing. Like I say, it's sometimes you're just wondering, you know, Now the big thing is Bush a lame duck? And it's like, no, Bush is a dead duck.
Well, but the other thing about this ports thing is all is not well yet, Luke. There's still a con buried inside this thing.
Well, you heard Schumer tonight. He was interested. He said, I still want to see all the paperwork on this.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like I say, I would not put him past to try to hand it off some other corporation. Maybe a KBR or something.
Well, they
along
said.
Those lines.
Well, no, they said a U.S. entity. And a week ago, we had stories, Luke, talking about the fact that there were negotiations in place that would allow Dubai Ports World to own all this stuff, but under a shell corporation created in the United States, so that they could say it was U.S.
owned. There, well, we're from the Cayman Islands.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like it's got to the point now. Somebody was talking today. Who was it? I think it was Tom Hartman was talking. I was listening to him. He was talking about, you know, the same with Pat Roberts and them when they were doing the Katrina thing. He said you had to go when they had them up on their website, on the FEMA website, you know, to donate money to. He said you had to go down like five levels till you found a URL that just even mentioned the name Robertson before you, and you had to go like two more levels before you could prove it was Pat Robertson.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And it's got to this thing now, like I say, it's one of those things where we're going to have to see the paperwork, and we're going to have the paperwork investigated before I'll guarantee this thing is dead.
With these guys, if they say that the skies are blue, I'm going outside with an umbrella.
Well, it's one of those things you get to see. The one thing the Bush administration I've always noticed have done is hurry up. Don't look. Go ahead. Keep moving. You can't take time to read it.
Nothing to see here.
Patriot Act, you can't read this. Just sign it and go on.
Yeah, these are not the droids you're looking for.
But it's one of those things where it's like, well, we want you to sign this, and then maybe 6 months later we'll find out, oh, by the way, this is a division of Dubai Port.
That's what it's going to be. I mean, I think everything's in play. That's where I think they're headed. So, I wouldn't trust them as far as I could throw them. Hey, Luke, thanks so much, man. Good to hear from you. Take care.
Okay.
Bye now. All right, let's slide west on I-40 a little ways. David in Nashville. Hey, David, you're head on.
Well, a big hello to my East Tennessee brother. I love it when Luke gets on because, by golly, he knows where Victor Ashe should be condemned.
Yes.
Now, he was hand-in-hand with a fella I would probably, I might go to jail to irritate, a fella named Randy Tyree. Oh, Lord, I hated that man when I lived in Knoxville. But anyway, so much for serious topics. Bob, we got to laugh it up a little bit.
Well,
we got to add some joy.
Okay. Go, man.
From a source no lower and no less astute than the Harvard School of Public Health, it's more healthy to have two beers a day than it is to have two glasses of whole milk or two cans of sugared soda.
Well, you know, theoretically, maybe there's not as much rocket fuel in the freaking beer.
This is no theory, Bob. There's a lot of money. There's been a lot of effort put into the study. You know, two glasses of whole milk, cholesterol, bad stuff. A couple of beers, a little relaxation, that's that. Ooh, that nasty sugared soda. All you're going to do is gain weight and not feel any better over it. You know, plus get cranked up late at night on caffeine. So for a fella like my dear brother Wayne, Go Steelers, who will pick up a serving of adult malt beverage and make sure it finds the right home. You know, Wayne, we're on the right track, partner.
You know, this could be bad news, though. I mean, you mentioned the sugared soda. I sit here and I pound down my big orange or my big root beer. Maybe I'm making a mistake.
Well, I think it's an individual decision, Bob, based on the intellect and the intelligence of the person involved. But, you know, if that sound happens a little earlier in the show, I wouldn't offend me.
Then we all do agree that sound effect, that's a beer can opening.
That's a beer can opening.
At the end of the show, in front of the sound effect in front of Hell No, I Ain't Happy by the Drive-By Truckers, that's beer can opening.
Oh, yes, from that wonderful Shoals area of northern Alabama, just a cradle. I mean, never mind that Tigris and Euphrates. I'm sorry. that Wilson Dam, that Tuscumbia, that Sheffield, that area, that Shoals area, I'm sorry, that may be the real cradle of civilization.
Well, at least musical civilization, we can tell.
That's for dead gum, sure.
Yeah.
All right, now that I got to get a...
Have you seen the photograph yet? Let me ask you that.
No, I will take care of that. I will dig into that, but I've got to go back one more night.
Okay.
I want to make sure my friend in Oregon, in Washington County, understands that I realize my misuse of the word regarding those of lesser mental capacity than are considered the standard human unit. I stand corrected, and that R word will never ever be used again, because Mr. Bush is not that R word. He's just flat out evil, and there's a difference.
Pig-eyed mean evil.
You got it. There ain't a nice bone in that man's body, and I'm sure I'm going to have a big old laugh. Apparently that frame 5 for those that understand that sort of thing and read a lot of books and, you know, maybe have some friends that explained it to them, could the phrase reach around be involved in that frame 5? Oh, I shouldn't have said that, I guess.
No, it could be. Yeah, it could be.
Yeah, it could be.
Jerry. God, Jerry Lewis. America's ports were just saved by Jerry Lewis.
It could have happened. I'm sorry. Yeah, well, I guess for that ports deal, come on now. They're probably going to have Skilling or Lay or one of those guys do the bookkeeping on this American company. What are they going to do? Turn that ports deal over to the leftovers of Enron?
No, it's going to be DP Ports World America, DP Ports World America, a wholly owned subsidiary of DP Ports World Inc., a wholly owned subsidiary of the dictatorship of the United Arab Emirates.
So that means the big guy needs to call a guy who will call a guy who will take care of it, as opposed to the big guy simply makes a phone call.
Right. Now they put it. They,
one more layer.
Yeah, it's one more shell before you get to the P.
Well, yeah, that's pretty easy to suss that one out.
But that's where they're going with it, because.
Well, I know, and America's going to say, oh, wow, you know, all right. You know, the guy that wants badly not to be bothered anymore, he's just going to go, oh, well, okay, George took care of it. It's not those rug pilots. It's not those Arabs anymore.
You can tell by you can tell a lot about this deal by the apparent silence of the White House, David. It's been mighty quiet. You know, no frothing, no carrying on, no, you know, nothing that we got last week that this deal is good for America and this deal will go through.
Well, they knew all that did was create a gag reflex in most of America. So now they're putting up this straw horse, this red herring, this, you know, Trojan horse in reverse. So finally, you know, oh, great. Somebody else is going to tell the big lie, and maybe America will swallow the big lie if somebody else tells it.
So the things being such as they are and working from the paradigm that we frequently do, David, would you say that the Bush administration is the masked Avenger or the golden Marvel in this wrestling match?
It depends on which one is scheduled to win that night. It's either. You know, it's the masked Avenger or the golden Marvel. I mean, it's the golden Marvel on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. It's the masked Avenger on Monday, Wednesday, and Sunday afternoon matinee. It's all wrestling.
It is. It is.
It's all wrestling. Speaking of wrestling, two bodies in conflict, we in Tennessee had a big old laugh 2 years ago, and we were chuckling and we were slapping our knees and we were going, how about those folks in Alabama when they tried to outlaw marital aid?
Yeah.
They tried to outlaw dildos. And we had a big old chuckle. And now then.
Dadgum ignorant redneck Alabamians. Yeah.
Yuck. Yeah, well, gee whiz. We laughed a little too quickly and a little too loudly because now we got it going on right here.
This ain't going to pass, though, is it, David?
No. We've got many bigger issues, and let's not get into our local corruption issue.
Well, this whole story came out of, what's it called? Is it like the Alternative Weekly or something in Nash Vegas there, the Nashville Scene?
Oh, yeah, Scene.
Scene
has, like many, many cities, Nashville has the Scene. In Portland, Oregon, it's called Willamette Week. In a couple other cities that I'm aware of, well, all right, Village Voice in New York City.
Well, Atlanta, it's Creative Loafing. Creative Loafing, yeah, sure.
The Scene has some legitimately interested reporters aspiring to do something more, and they don't get paid much. And they are aspiring to make some bones and cause some dust to be in the air so that, I don't know, a better paper would cause, would take some interest and say, look, hey, get the kid down in Nashville that broke that one. Go get him or go get her. Yes.
Nah.
The Nashville Scene's legit.
Yeah, and, well, they broke this story of the marital AIDS thing. And, made reference to the fact that, you know, meanwhile, people are dying without health care because 10 care has been gutted because there's not enough money from the federal government anymore.
And our governor said, oh,
I mean, how are these clowns? Are these clowns going to be reelected? I mean, is this like the guy from where was it? Cleveland, Tennessee, that was caught at the Martina McBride concert with in flagrante delicto.
He'll be reelected.
And these clowns will be too. What's wrong with the electorate in these little pockets of weirdness? I don't know.
They've been corrupted. They've been subverted. They've been blinded. And all he's got to do is cry those crocodile tears on the steps of his church, and it'll be 52-48, and he'll be back in office.
Oh, God.
Well, let's move on to one last thing.
Oh, please.
I've got to talk about this.
Okay.
For months and months and months, as an avid baseball fan, this World Baseball Championship. You know, the clumsy effort to become the World Cup of baseball.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, well, at first I thought it was great. Okay, well, fine. Our government says Cuba can't play. Well, then our government says, okay, Cuba can play. And then the players and the union and the owners of various teams start going back and forth. And like almost anything in sport, once somebody said, play ball, pushed it up for two guys to tip it, or somebody kicked it off. Once the games started, the fun began. America hasn't seen enough of Latin American fans do what they do, which is start at 9 o'clock in the morning for a 7 o'clock game with a picnic, a church service, another meal, a little drinking, songs, horns, bells, whistles. The next thing you know, when Venezuela plays Dominican Republic, the few Americans that saw the game in Arizona were just flabbergasted at the incredible fun they had. They're caught up in it. And then the really big fun, Canada beats the United States.
Oh, I know.
8-6. Now, if America wants to make so much out of the miracle on ice, when the Americans beat the Russians in the semifinals of the 1980 Olympics and then went on to beat another team to get the gold medal in hockey, Canada absolutely put one right on our forehead with that one. That is.
Oh, yeah, at the end of that one, the Canadian announcer had to be, Ed, do you believe in miracles, eh?
It was better than that because there's guys that play 60 games a year for major league clubs on that Canada squad. The guy that just tore everybody up by hitting a home run, inside the park home run, no less, making a catch that nobody thought he would make. He's not sure he's going to make the Boston Red Sox squad this year. He's struggling in spring training to make the Red Sox squad.
And meanwhile, the American squad has a combined bank account of that's equal to or better to the gross national product of several countries.
Several countries. Now then, tonight, the news that crept out of my radio speakers is even better. Because of the legitimate rules, even though they were twisted to give the American team the advantage, they had a day off, nobody else had a day off, they've got a day off. In the rules of double elimination play, should Canada win another game by more than 2 runs, America is eliminated from the tournament. They don't even get to play again, and I'm sorry. I'm as patriotic as the next guy, but with these overblown American guys standing around, griping about the rooms, griping about the limo service, wondering why so-and-so got to bat third when I should bat third, and I don't have any protection behind me with a better hitter than I am.
Where's my body armor? What? Get my agent on the phone.
Exactly. If Canada wins big tonight against two teams that barely know their stitches on a baseball, if they win by 2-0 against somebody tonight, America's eliminated. So all this high-priced help should be out there rolling tarps or maybe lining the field or raking the infield, for God's sake.
Yeah, selling the hot dogs. We got to get out of here, David.
Bob, thanks for the chance.
See ya.
Bye
now. All right, that's the hour. It's time for the news. This is Head On.
Head On Radio Network News, I'm Bruce Birch. Freedom took it on the chin today. George Bush signed the new, more intrusive Patriot Act into law only a day before 16 of its more notorious provisions would have expired. Bush said the new law, which affects American citizens far more than any terrorist, is vital to winning the so-called war on terror. At the signing ceremony, Bush said the United States will, quote, not wait to be attacked again, end quote. There is still no answer as to why Bush waited to be attacked the first time. Dubai says it's giving up on its quest to run America's ports. The Persian Gulf dictatorship's company, Dubai Ports World, says it will transfer its ownership interest to what it called, quote, a U.S. entity, end quote. Republicans and Democrats alike are said to be relieved to have the issue disappear before the 2006 elections. Some in Congress are still skeptical. They're concerned that the so-called U.S. entity could still be a front for DP World. With hopes for the continued existence of intelligent life on Earth waning, there's interesting news from the Cassini spacecraft. Cassini has sent back fascinating photographs of water geysers on one of Saturn's moons. The presence of water on Enceladus raises tantalizing possibilities of the existence of life there. The Cassini spacecraft was launched in 1997. It is traveling through the solar system examining planets and their moons. Donald Rumsfeld says he's not up for an Iraqi civil war. Rumsfeld told the Senate Thursday that if Iraq falls into full-scale civil war, the U.S. won't fight in it. General John Abizaid, the Pentagon's number one man in the Middle East, says that Iraqi sectarian violence is now a greater threat to American success there than the so-called insurgency. Rumsfeld told West Virginia Senator Robert Byrd that the Iraqi military would have to deal with the civil war itself, quote, to the extent that they are able to, end quote. There are no Iraqi army units capable of operating without American oversight. Iran's president says his country can inflict pain on the U.S. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad says his country can and will make the United States suffer if George Bush's administration tries to stop Iran from having nuclear power. Iran's supreme religious leader, Ali Khamenei, says the U.S. is using the nuclear issue as a pretext to threaten Iran. He said, quote, if Iran quits now, the case will not be over. The Americans will find another excuse, end quote. This is news from the Horn, Head On Radio Network News.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beach? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air? Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
The U.S. will turn over operation of the notorious Abu Ghraib prison to Iraqi authorities within 3 months. That's the word from the Pentagon today. It's no victory, however. The U.S. is only leaving Abu Ghraib to run a new concentration camp that is presently under construction at a place called Camp Cropper. 4,500 prisoners will be transferred to the new concentration camp from Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. With George Bush suffering a setback on the Dubai ports deal, Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff says that Asian bird flu may be in the U.S. in a matter of months. Chertoff made the announcement Thursday. He claimed the Bush administration will be able to stop any potential outbreaks. Chertoff said, quote, we're going to be able to deal with it because we have a lot of experience with that, end quote. In a related story, another body was found in an attic in New Orleans this week, and a House federal officials had said was empty. Chertoff also said Thursday, that removing the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA, from inside the Department of Homeland Security would be, in his words, a disaster. America is falling further and further into debt. That's the word from the U.S. Commerce Department. It is reported today that the U.S. trade deficit soared to $68.5 billion. That was more than $3 billion over the Commerce Department projection for January. A patriot made his way into the chambers of the United States Senate Thursday. Prior to an appearance by Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice before the Senate Appropriations Committee, a man cried out, quote, "How many of you have children in this illegal and immoral war?" End quote. The man also yelled, quote, "Blood is on your hands and you cannot wash it away," end quote, as Ms. Rice began her testimony. The man was taken into custody and removed from the hallowed halls of the Senate. For the Head On Radio News Network, I'm Bruce Birch.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're Head On with Bob Kincaid.
Hey, welcome back. What a wonderful hour that was. I have some of the best posture going for me that I've had in years. Because if I move my neck, you get to hear me scream. This is so much fun. I shouldn't complain about my maladies. I know there are lots out there with far worse going on for them than this, but you know, this goes back to the car wreck when I was 17 years old, and just every now and then. But the insurance company said, "You're all better." So it's 6.5 minutes after the hour. You know the phone number, 877, the number for Head On, 877-443-2366. Let's go straight back to the phones. Gene's been waiting patiently. Hey, Gene, you're Head On.
Hey, Bob.
How are you?
Okay. I wanted to tell David thank you, and I didn't really mean to hurt his feelings or anything.
Oh, yeah, I don't think you did.
Okay. Because I just pointing that out. It's not a big deal. I appreciate the apology, and so I just thought I'd throw that out. It's funny how lascivious, I guess, is different things to different people, because what I thought you meant was the picture 4 before picture 5, where he's eyeing Chertoff like that kind of I love you, baby, kind of look on his face.
Yeah, the same look he gave to Condi. I kind of picked up on that, too, but it was 5 that just really, you know, threw me across the room.
Yeah, it was like, well, they all look like they just come out of that grove or whatever that is in California when they all get together.
The Bohemian Grove, oh my God.
Well, they did, if you look at it. They all just get this really spongy smile on their face. It's like, oh,
yeah.
Boy.
Well, you know, they're signing the Patriot Act, and they are thereby taking away the better part of all of our rights as Americans. Yeah, they're grinning like a fox licking blood out of a wire brush.
Yeah, it's awful. So, but I just, nuts.
Yeah.
You're right. And I did see the Robinson video, which.
Yeah, that just hurts, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
So, well, you know, it's the part, you know, the part with the little children of the corn trying to say the pledge. I pledge allegiance under.
Oh.
And their hands are little see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil monkeys with the hands over their mouth. They can't say God in the pledge.
Yeah.
Do you agree that there is a mindset, or that there is a complex, or a mem, or something like that they're trying to foist off these religious leaders on their so-called flocks and congregations? They want them to actually believe that they're being persecuted, don't they?
But what really scares me is when you get supposedly educated people repeating the meme, like some of the articles I sent you, the Iran thing going.
Oh yeah.
Over about the, you know, they're, it's like, ah. And that's how I figured out that whole thing with the New York Stock Exchange. That's what they're trying to do. It's like, okay, you're going to take away our dollars. We'll see if we can just buy you outright.
Yeah, this is we are waging more wars than just what's going on in Iraq, Gene.
Oh yeah, it's nuts.
We're waging them with dollars. We're waging wars with emotions. We're waging wars with psyops.
Yeah.
I mean, the right wing doesn't realize that it is being manipulated six different ways from Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And we see it, but we feel powerless to stop it.
Yeah, that's for sure.
It's frustrating. It's truly frustrating.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got to do something. Anyway, I need to go because I got to
right.
get ready for class. But
okay, well, you have a wonderful evening, Gene, and we'll hope to hear from you soon.
Okay.
Take care.
Thanks.
Bye now.
Bye.
Our buddy Gene in Oregon. 10 minutes after the hour. Talking about our rights going bye-bye, I got this might take a minute to root through the stack, or maybe it's part of last night's stack. There is something going around out there. You know where there is out there, in the vacuous, nebulous place. Yeah, here it is. This is your Bill of Rights. Seen this? Newly partially declassified, recently classified documents to be... somebody help me here. Whose work is this again? The author is there's real genius in the authorship of this piece. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but I know it's up at bartcop.com, and I'm pretty sure it was up at wd40.com. wd40.com 40, not spelled out. WD40.com. Newly revamped and a really good looking website. Our buddies Clyde, Wally, Dookie. You heard from columnist Ed last night. Clyde's got a great new column up on the site with regard to the attitude of men toward the South Dakota abortion ban, and it really does affect guys. You know, I used to say that. Well, you know, I'm not going to tell a woman whether to have an abortion or not because I don't have a uterus and I can't go where she is. But to the extent that it affects privacy for everyone, guys do have a dog in this hunt. And also something from a Democratic Underground that I ran across, sent to us by our friend Roz. Okay, let me back up. I'm getting disorganized. The first thing, yeah, you can say, I think you can find this both at WD40.com and BartCop.com. The amended amendments to the Constitution, the amended Bill of Rights. This person who did this exhibited real genius. All you have to do is have a black magic marker, and suddenly you can see where the country's headed. Amendment 1, Congress shall make no law prohibiting, abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peacefully to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. See how it works? It's so funny because this entire list of the Bill of Rights, the only one that goes unscathed is the Second Amendment. Because, you know, that's the only one that the congressional Republicans can't touch without setting off a firestorm and an absolute frenzy. Although, you know, with the signing of the new Patriot Act today, it gets a little easier to get the guns, too. And it's not going to be some liberal's fault, either. Amendment 3 only has 4 words left in it now. No time of peace. And Amendment 10, no power to the people. And it's satire, and maybe satire should be spelled with a D in this instance because it's sad. It's just sad. But with regard to the South Dakota abortion thing, a few thoughts do continue to crop up, and I wanted to, this is a post from Democratic Underground, sent to us by our friend Roz, and it's well worth considering, especially for guys. When a woman got pregnant before abortion was legal, there was no way for her to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt who the father was. All a guy had to do was spread rumors about the girl, claim she was a slut, trash her reputation by getting a few buddies to say they slept with her or that they knew other guys who slept with her, you know, that kind of thing. It was her word against yours, and since she was a fallen woman, no one was going to believe her. She was forced to leave town for almost a year. You or your son simply walked away and never had to think about it again. Remember all that sex you had in college? You never had to deal with any consequences, did you? You just assumed that you never got anyone pregnant because no one ever told you that you did. You don't believe that abortion rights were ever an issue in your life, and you don't expect them to be an issue in your son's life either. You taught him to be careful, just like you always were. I bet it never even occurred to you that your college girlfriend may have gotten an abortion without telling you. Well, my friends, you just eliminated choice from a woman's life, so she'll probably end up having a baby that was conceived while you were being careful. But wait, it gets better. There's now a little thing called DNA testing, and the girl can prove the kid belongs to you, or your son. If you're the one who did the deed, you'll have to pay child support, and your wife will find out that you've been a naughty, naughty boy. Which means you may end up having to pay alimony as well. If your son did the deed, he will also be forced to pay child support. But if he's only 14 and can't afford to do it, you'll be footing the bill. I bet you never thought his college fund would be spent on diapers and baby food. Looks like his Ivy League future just flew out the window, huh? No more rumors. No more muddy in the waters to make people think the father could be one of a dozen guys. No more walking away without a care in the world. Guys, you're going to pay for the next 18 years, and if the girl wasn't quite legal yet, you'll be paying a different price. I bet you never dreamed that controlling someone else's body was going to be so damned expensive, did you? Uh-uh. Because all of that... Thanks, Roz. All of that requires thought, and thought is not something that the right wing is in any degree particularly good at. No, 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 no. And it goes on, I read Clyde's excellent essay, and he makes good points. He says, you know, I'm a guy, I'm behind the learning curve on this. I've never had to consider this abortion thing, but it does mean something to men in this country, and it damn sure does. You know, South Dakota couldn't find its way clear to create an exception for rape and incest? Take a minute. Get your head around that one. Now, boys and girls that were raised in the South or the Midwest or, oh, hell, what am I talking about? Why am I dividing this country all over the nation? You go to the church social, you go to the family reunion, you go to the picnic, and somewhere along the way, somebody tousles your head when you're about five and goes, oh, he looks just like his daddy. And the little kid grins that abashed grin, and the parents beam with pride, and the father stands. When you say he looks just like his daddy, and a woman standing there, and that is the child of rape, he looks just like his daddy. That's not a compliment anymore, is it? That's an indictment. And if the child's the product of incest, that's not a compliment. That's a road map. Oh, my God. Yeah. Act in haste. Repent in leisure. Let's take a quick break. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On.
Hi, this is Guy James. Remember me? As many of you know, I got the boot from the radio stations that carried my show a while back because I got a little too controversial for them to handle. Well, I'm back now, but I'll be doing my show 5 days a week from 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time starting on March 20th. Join us at theguyjamesshow.com or whiterosesociety.org.
It's Grace.
We're actually very boring people, Rama. That's why we call ourselves homebodies.
Well, it's Rama.
Sure. I mean, group sex for us is when we're both involved.
That's a crap.
It's really, really smart.
We're a nice little Petri dish here in Vermont because you can experiment.
Join Grace and Rama, homebodies, every Sunday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the web at homebodies.ramabahama.net.
World's coming to an end, Mal.
I see angels, Mickey. They're coming down for us from heaven. And I see you riding a big red horse.
He's a man who just loves conservatives, baked, broiled, or fried. Here's Bob Kincaid.
They're coming right at us. And I see the future.
I love you, man.
I know you do, baby. I've loved you since the day we met.
Anyone's a little hard. Wouldn't turn around and break it. And anyone's ever played a part.
All right, welcome back. Back a little bit ago, I was talking about this thing with the DEFCON ads about America's religious right has a gambling problem. Remember that? Yeah. I didn't feel like we really did justice to that story, though, because when you get right down to it, you need to hear the excuse-making that you get. And remember, this isn't just anyone making excuses. This is the personal responsibility crowd. These are the words of Dr. Dobson. Now, bear in mind, of course, Dr. Dobson's the kind of doctor that couldn't put a Band-Aid on somebody without killing him. What is Dr. Dobson's connection to Jack Abramoff? Answer, there is no connection. Dr. Dobson's never met Mr. Abramoff and, in fact, has never even spoken to him. These are not the droids you're looking for. Move along. But there are print and TV ads alleging Dr. Dobson got casino cash in exchange for opposing gambling expansion in Alabama and Louisiana. They're lies. They're lies from the liberal special interests that are trying to use the misdeeds of Mr. Abramoff to smear social conservatives. They're just lies. Mm-hmm. Well, what about the reports by some in the media that Dr. Dobson and Focus on the Family opposed the Alabama lottery in 1999 in an Indian casino in Louisiana in 2002 at Abramoff's behest? Those reports are untrue. They're untrue. I never took money from that man, Mr. Abramoff. See how it works? And what about those emails from Abramoff that have been published indicating he was influencing Dr. Dobson's involvement in these circumstances? Those emails are examples of Mr. Abramoff bragging about events that did not happen. They just didn't happen. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, who are you going to believe for reality? Facts or me? You're going to believe me. Because we're not interested in facts. Oh, this is just sickening. And you can go to Family. Don't make their hit counter spin. Never mind. Dr. Dobson would privately urge Secretary of the Interior Gail Norton to oppose the Jenna Choctaw Casino. Well, Dr. Dobson and Tom Menry wrote letters to Secretary Norton in February 2002 to ask her to protect families by blocking the expansion of gambling in Louisiana. It's not an uncommon practice for Dr. Dobson and Focus senior management to write to federal officials urging them to take pro-family stances on important social issues, especially not when there's a whole bunch of money involved.
See, this is what they're doing here. This whole business about we never took. Okay, question. Has Focus on the Family ever taken money from gambling interests? No. Focus does not accept gambling money. It's also worth noting that Dr. Dobson has criticized both Republicans and Democrats for not doing enough to. On a broadcast in September 2000, Dobson mentioned the then Senate Majority Leader Trent Lott, a Republican. He said he had in the past been, quote, somewhat sympathetic to the gambling interest in the state of Mississippi. Boy, I tell you what, that's a blistering, isn't it? Of course, it's not half of the stuff that he says about Democrats, accusing them of hating babies and killing babies and occasionally barbecuing and eating babies. No. So, of course, Dr. Dobson is elbows deep in the filth that is Jack Abramoff. But they're trying to use the same defense that the Democrats legitimately have. And that is that they never took a damn dime from Jack Abramoff. Guess what? The religious right is up to its knuckles. It's hairy little knuckles in Jack Abramoff money. Of course, we know that. Us liberals, us progressives, us decent people, Democrats, we know that. Because we were paying attention when Abramoff's aide, Michael Scanlon, described the whole scam. And they in sworn testimony before Congress, and they brought out the emails that he'd sent where he said, you know, I'll send the message to Ralph Reed and he'll get the religious wackos on board and they'll never even know what happened. But there's not a word in here about the religious wackos. The dealer doesn't help the junkie get clean. And rule number one, the Fields Law, W.C. Fields, God rest his soul. Rule one, don't smarten up a chump. And there are tens of millions of chumps in America. You know that, and I know that. And what we also know is that this is head on. And it's time for our bottom of the hour break. Let's see what Joe Vecchio has for us this evening. Wear the phone out if you want to. 877, the number 4, head on. 877-443-2366. I'm Bob.
Dear God, hope you got the letter and I pray you can make it better down here. I don't mean a big reduction in the price of me. But all the people that you made in your image, see them starving on their feet. Cause they don't get enough to eat from God. Can't believe
it. It's the Cup of Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. They had a primary election in Texas this week where the incumbent, Henry Cuellar, a man who was famously fondled by George W. Bush at the State of the Union address and who was mainly known for his support of Republican policies, barely defeated challenger Ciro Rodriguez. Mr. Rodriguez, a former congressman himself, was originally considered to be a long shot to defeat Mr. Cuellar, but donations from the blogosphere made him a serious contender. In the end, he lost by about 5,500 votes out of 45,000 cast. Joe Lieberman, another Democrat who has been far too chummy with Republicans, is also facing a serious primary challenge from businessman Ned Lamont. It's a challenge that Mr. Lieberman is taking very seriously, as well he should. It's refreshing to see Democratic voters pushing to remove people like Cuellar and Lieberman from the party. In the past, working with the opposition would be a good thing, but over the last 10 years or so, it's hard to see how trying to work with Republicans has done the party or the country any good. The GOP is, in fact, trying to destroy the Democratic Party, and recent history has clearly shown that whenever a Democrat goes out of his way to work with the Republicans, he or she eventually gets stabbed in the back. What I want to know is, why are any Democrats voting for candidates like Cuellar and Lieberman to begin with? How do they best represent our party if they're working with people who want to destroy them? Personally, I want to see Democrats who will stand up for what we believe in, not just get along to go along. And I think if people see some fighting spirit, they'd be more willing to vote for Democrats. But even if we still go down, I'd rather we go down fighting. Now get back to work. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show, available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he a... Nureyev?
Nureyev.
Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs?
Sure about that?
Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, hi. How you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know, one small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh?
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he the guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Hi, my name is Aaron, and I'm a survivor of mannequinism. Mannequinism is basically when you turn into a hard plastic shell. This is from not being politically active. For me, it started when I didn't register to vote, and then I stopped volunteering, and before I knew it, I wasn't doing anything. And that's when I found the first sign. A small, discolored hard patch of plastic on my right shoulder. I thought it would go away on its own, but it didn't. It kept spreading. And when I could no longer conceal it with a t-shirt, I knew I had to see the doctor. He said I had this early stage of mannequinism and that my only hope was to get involved, even if it was something simple. So I began reading the newspaper and instantly got feeling back in my arm. I guess you could say I'm living proof you can fight mannequinism.
Protect yourself from mannequinism. Log on to fightmannequinism.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
A man who has the heart of a conservative, pickled in a jar on his desk. It's Bob Kincaid.
Halfway through this Thursday night edition of Head On, I'm Bob Kincaid. At the controls, my lovely wife, Agnes, taking your phone calls at 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. And email to Bob at headonradio.com. Let's do have a quick look at the email. I get a big kick out of it myself. We've heard a little something from our pal Andrew in upstate New York. Hello, Agnes and Bob. Just tried to get on DP World site, but it's offline. I guess they're doing some, site maintenance, Andrew says. Hey to all the listeners, and have a great show. And the link, if you want to try it, he sends DPI. Am I reading this right? Do I need my reading glasses? Yeah, DPIterminals.com. DPIterminals.com. Thanks, Andrew. You have a wonderful night yourself. And I don't know if you caught the promo, but we are proud to be announcing the return of Guy James to the air. Guy is a wonderful, fierce, take-no-prisoners talk host of the progressive and liberal bent, and I personally am proud to call him friend. The GuyJamesShow.com, or, of course, WhiteRoseSociety.org. are both means by which you can get the Guy James Show when Guy fires it back up on, write it down, March the 20th, 3 o'clock Eastern Time.
3 o'clock Eastern Time, March the 20th, Guy James returns to the airwaves, and America will be a little bit better off for it. We'll have more details as Guy provides them to us, but that's good news in and of itself. Welcome back to the fight, Guy. We need you, brother. I had an interesting... Well, we've got a phone call here. Let's see who... Oh, our friend Sue in the UK. Hello, Sue. You're head on.
Hi. I'm not called up tonight. It's about... Is that... For our school,
though. Oh, we've got another one of these terrible connections, Sue. What did you say?
We've got evangelists taking over our...
We love hearing from Sue. Now, I want to share something with you. I got a note from our good friend Dermot. Dermot is in Ireland, and it was a very well written note, and it had good detail to it. And he wrote, "Go ahead, pick it up." He's asking the question, "What is wrong with America? Don't you even pretend to freedom anymore on either side of the political aisle? Why in the world won't the Democrats just stand up?" And I think that's a question we have to try to answer. Let's bring back Sue on Skype this time. Remember the thing with the knob up there, dear? All right. Are you with us, Sue?
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Can you hear me?
This is some better.
Oh, you can hear me.
Are you echoing?
Excellent.
Okay, I think we've got you this time.
No, we've got no access end.
Great.
Yep.
Oh my, we're still having trouble, Sue. I don't know what's wrong.
Me neither. It seems to be going a bit strange. I'll try again in a little while, Bob.
Okay, thank you, Sue. Bye now.
Okay. Bye. Okay.
Bye. Thanks for trying. We love you. Sometimes, you know, that's the thing with this VOIP stuff. The technology is fairly young. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But Dermot asked, you know, what is wrong with America, and more importantly, what's wrong with the Democratic Party? And I don't think I'm doing anything. I like to respond, and I think most of you know this by now. If I don't respond to an email on air, I will do everything in my power to respond to it off air. And I sent this back to Dermot, and I'd like to have your thoughts on it. I told Dermot I could weep. I said I could weep reading your inquiry. What is assumed by people in the U.S. is anathema to people of democratic bent in the rest of the world. By that I mean that what we assume must be here is seen in the rest of the world as a situation of why do they even tolerate it? That is the depth and reach of the disconnect that presently holds the U.S. in its sway. And I suggest perhaps the etymology of a single word will go further to explain the present U.S. political miasma. That word is client. And client comes from the Latin. And the word in Latin was cliens. No, don't get your eyes crossed. I'm not going to get all boring in ancient history here. But the cliens was a guy who would go around to his senator's door from time to time in ancient Rome and ask him to take care of, you know, this thing, that thing, you know, I had a little problem, we need the sewer fixed down in the Subura. And in return for the senator accomplishing, you know, real things that really meant thing in the cliens life, he would support the senator's position among the plebs, the common people. And cliens, well, you know, it means client now, but it also, you know, it went on in... It was a relationship that went on in medieval Europe to mean, oh, serf, peon, vassal, villein, peasant. And see, what's happened in America, and you tell me if I'm wrong, we've gone all topsy-turvy. We're all bass-ackwards now. And the senator who in ancient Rome had a relationship with the Cleans has become a Cleans in his own right. Every now and then, from time to time, he goes round and round about to the houses of his benefactors, you know, the corporations, the religion industry. And there, he pleads his case for more money, more support, and the corporatists and the religion industrials, well, they tell him that, you know, they'll, sure enough, they'll do for him what he needs done, so long as he accomplishes what they want. Money changes hands, and the senator or the congressman has enough money to fight his next campaign battle. Now, this system of, I think of it as, you know, rank, putrid, political prostitution, worse than any sexual prostitution that has ever existed. It's the model now. It's the American political model. It's the base of it all. And it's dirty, and it's more demeaning than any other, any kind of sexual, physical prostitution. It's a betrayal. And senators and members of the House of Representatives, they've reduced themselves to those villains I mentioned a minute ago. Laboring in the, you know, mucky, filth-festooned fields of their feudal corporate lords. We talk about a return to feudalism from time to time on this program. And God knows the Republican leadership is doing everything they can to hasten that day when there is an upper crust and everyone else is down in the filth and the muck. And from an American point of view, I don't know about you, but I'm embarrassed. I really appreciated the inquiry from Dermot, and I tried to put some thought into it. And I came up with a picture that I don't like worth a tinker's dam. And I am embarrassed in the face of the rest of the world for the United States of America. I'm embarrassed for Thomas Jefferson. I'm embarrassed for John Adams. I'm embarrassed for Benjamin Franklin and John Hancock and Samuel Adams. Caesar Rodney. George Washington. Thomas Paine. Patrick Henry. Move forward. I'm embarrassed for Abraham Lincoln. I'm embarrassed for Frederick Douglass. I'm embarrassed for Daniel Webster. I'm embarrassed for John C. Calhoun. I'm embarrassed for everyone who tried to bring this dream of the American Republic forward. And on this one, there is a doubly damning indictment. And it's an indictment of the Democrats as well as the Republicans because, you know, the Republicans have more religion industry support and they've got more corporate support. But, you know, our Democrats, some of them, they do go around with they have to go around with their hand out. I think that Democrats would, in fact, be more likely to go for a different system. Some of them wouldn't. Those sissy centrist Democrats, they like things just fine the way they are. They sure do. But public financing of campaigns has got to come to this country, and it's got to happen on not just a state and local level, it's got to happen on a national level, or we're, like I said earlier at the beginning of the show, we're screwed. Let's go to the phones. Joe Vecchio is with us. Hey, Joe, you're head on. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good. You?
Good, good. Very good. First of all, it's a republic, madam, if you can keep it, if you remember that line.
Yes, indeed. Right.
Don't be embarrassed for our founding fathers. They knew what they were up against when they were starting this country, and I don't think they could have conceived the massive multinational corporations that we have. Now, although they had them in their own way in their time, you know, the British East India Corporation,
right,
and places like that, but they didn't really have the same kind of a stranglehold as the multinationals. What was it, Ned Beatty's speech from Network? There is no America, there is no Russia,
yeah.
It's all IBM and AT&T, you know,
mm-hmm.
So and all that. So don't be embarrassed about that. And in fact, a quote from another American, Lincoln, he said, if you want to show how a man deals with things, don't give him adversity, give him power.
Right.
And that's what happened with this country. It's what's happened with every country that's wanted to or attempted to achieve some sort of global dominance. they eventually just fall because, you know, there's a few people on the top who want everything, and they're very good at getting it, don't get me wrong, but they never know what to do with it once they get it, except to grab more for it. And that's what the Republican Party is all about. But I wanted to get back to what you were talking about in the abortion issue, about how people don't think these things through. And I don't know if you mentioned it earlier, but it was something that I noted on my blog, that cupojoe.blogspot.com, in a post entitled Good People. And in that, I link to a video of a guy. Maybe you've seen it, maybe you've heard of it, I don't know. But there's a guy who goes up to these women who are anti-abortion protesters, holding the fetus signs up and all that stuff. And he just asks them flat out, do you think, you know, abortion should be illegal? And they say, yes, we do, because it's murder. They say, well, what do you think should be the punishment for that crime? And they were like, well, I don't really know about punishment. And he's like, if there's no punishment, then why do you want to make it illegal? And they can't understand. They didn't have an answer for
that. That doesn't make any sense.
And they didn't, you know, they didn't have any kind of thought process behind it. You know, somebody told them abortion is bad and it's killing babies, and you know, they went for it, and they've allowed other people to manipulate them into thinking this. And they're going to wind up suffering for it. The picture that I have on my blog is a couple of ladies with a whole bunch of anti-abortion stuff. And in the back is a sign that says, even the animals protect their young. But that's nonsense. Anybody who knows anything about nature knows several things. And I know this for a fact. For example, the pregnant rabbit, if she's under a lot of stress, she will absorb her unborn litter back into her body.
Mm-hmm.
She will not bear children. She will self-abort. And a lot of animals do that. Rabbits are a good example because they're known for their breeding, but a lot of animals will do that.
Right.
A male lion, when he takes over a pride from another male, he'll go around and look for all the cubs of that male and kill them.
Yeah.
So as to get his cubs later on when he mates with the females of
right.
the lion. So that's, you know, that's animals in nature. And they don't understand that. They were, you know, they're using animals as an example. So just like they were saying, well, there's no homosexuality in animals to be, you know, the anti-gay stuff. And then when they showed that there was homosexuality in animals, then they turned the argument and said, well, do we want to behave like animals? And they're warping it around to find any excuse they can to support their position without even thinking it any further apart. A life is a life is a life. Any further than that, they don't want to think about that. But they don't want to have a murder investigation of a miscarriage. That's what I talk about. If you have a miscarriage, shouldn't there be a murder investigation? I keep imagining a Columbo episode. Remember Columbo?
Oh, yeah.
Where they
show pardon them. Me, ma'am. Just one more question.
Exactly.
There.
And you have the whole thing, and it's, and as usual, it's some really rich, wealthy family. And what's happened is maybe you got a husband who's has typical Republican, rich businessman, drunkard and abusive, mm-hmm. and he punches his wife in the stomach, and the baby dies.
Well, we've got a law about that now here in West Virginia, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if a woman with a literally two cells, you know, she just became fertilized and she's in a car wreck, the guy that hit her, if she has a miscarriage,
with a double homicide,
right?
Yeah. Well, that's just the thing. You have a case like that, and maybe it's not even a crime. A car crash. It's just, like I said, an abusive husband, which has been known to happen.
Well, sure. But the sad thing is all of that turns American criminal procedure right on its ear because mm-hmm. Short of negligent homicide, you know, homicide that comes about by virtue of a person doing or not doing that which the ordinary, reasonable, practical person in the course and scope of the same or similar situation would have done or not done, except for that, every other form of murder in this country requires a proof of intent.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what about the guy who, I mean, he doesn't know she's pregnant.
Well, that's why you have to have a trial for every miscarriage.
Right. That's what I'm on the same page with you.
And then what you do, and what's the statute of limitation on murder?
In this state, none.
There is none. So what you have to do is if they pass this law, if they pass the kind of law that they say they really want, in terms of making it, if it's illegal in murder, okay?
Yeah.
Then since there's no statute of limitations on murder, you have to go back in all the records and see who's had an abortion since Roe v. Wade. And
oh, don't give him ideas, Joe.
Well, you know, that's the thing. Let's see. I'd love to see the police try to figure that this one out. And then, you know, go back again and look at all the miscarriages and investigate them. I'm sure the police would appreciate the overtime. you know, in dealing with this. But, of course, they don't really want that. And the problem with these people is that the law is not for them.
No, it's for somebody else.
It's
because
for somebody else. It's for
good, upstanding, moral, righteous, religion industrialists. They barely have sex.
Sure. Are you familiar with Avedon Carroll's Sideshow blog?
No, I don't think so.
One of the better blogs on the net. And she had a post that she got from several other places with quotes from counselors that worked at the clinics where the anti-abortion people would sometimes bring in their own daughters to perform abortions. And they would scream at the counselors, "You have no idea of what my daughter's situation is like."
Oh, my God.
You know? And it's remarkable, the hypocrisy. As if these situations, you know, are unusual for them, but, you know, at everybody else, they have to.
Well, and, you know, bear in mind, again, there are wealthy people in South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
And this law will not touch them because they will go to a civilized state.
Yeah, they'll find a way.
But
rich
some
and powerful will always find a way.
But some poor little 11-year-old that got jumped on by Uncle Daddy, no, that baby's going to get born. And the baby is going to be abandoned by the Republicans as quickly as it is out, as its little head is out of the birth canal.
Once it takes its first breath, you're on your own. Good night. See you later.
Yeah.
And never mind, you know, the hypocrisy of just ignoring what's going on in Iraq, you know, as if a gamete of 100 or so cells, or a blastocyte, or whatever they call it, of 100 or so cells, is the equal of a human being, but a brown person that lives in Iraq who just happens to live on oil that we want, that's not human.
Well, you can take it a step further. You know, one of the things that we're forever hearing from the right wing is, maybe one of them aborted babies would have cured cancer.
Well, maybe, you know, one of the aborted babies would have been Hitler.
Well, that's true too. But I mean, look at Iraq. It's as much as the right wing wants to argue about it. There was a conservatively estimated scientific study performed, you know, not by some wacko institution, but by the Johns Hopkins University. The report was published in the British medical journal Lancet, and it said that as a direct and proximate result of U.S. action, we're not talking suicide bombers or anything like that, but as a direct and proximate result of American action in Iraq, conservatively estimating, we have killed, and this was, you know, this was October of 2004. God knows what the number is now, but we had killed 100,000 non-combatant Iraqis, and most of them were women and children.
Sure.
And so, you know, is it just mean-spirited of me, Joe, to want to ask the pro-life movement who enabled this monster to do that monstrous deed? Is it just mean of me to ask them what they think about the women in Iraq who were bombed into oblivion by American guns, bombs, missiles, and bullets? Is it mean of me to ask them what they would think if any of those Iraqi civilian women were pregnant?
Well, you know something, it's like I said, as far as the good white Christians of this country, those people are simply not human. They are not human. They don't deserve the same rights. They are the only people who are human. They are the only people who count. When George W. Bush talks about the American people, he is not talking about you and me. He's talking about him in particular and his rich friends and a very small cabal of people. And the Right to Life group, the primary supporters of Mr. Bush and the Republican Party along those lines, or in 100% agreement with them. They are the American people. We are traitors. We are evil. We should be destroyed. We will be left behind when the rapture, because Jesus will only want their kind. And I've always said, you know, if heaven is filled with people like that, don't send me there. Because if I wake up after I die, if in whatever afterlife there is, and I look back and I see Pat Robertson and Jerry Falwell smiling back at me, I don't know where they think they are, but I know I'll be in hell.
Yeah.
Because that's how I see it. I don't want to spend any time with these people. They're, you know, as screwed up as I am, and I know I'm screwed up. As screwed up as I am, I want no part of these people. They are far more screwed up than I am.
Well, you know, we're liberals. We're progressives, Joe. We admit to suffering from feet of clay. Because we are human, and that is the way we are. But, you know, you say you're screwed up. Listen, as far as I'm concerned, I can't imagine you doing anything. It's part and parcel of the whole religion industry's gig is to preach this sin business.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think most of the people I know are not out there actively engaged in anything that I would call sin. Now, you want sin? Actively participating and enabling the murder of 100,000 people? Yeah, that's some sin. But I go back and forth on whether or not, we're far too hard on ourselves. Okay, I've made some mistakes. Yeah, we have. But it's nothing to die over.
Well, it's nothing to die over. And also, if you can look at yourself and face yourself and say, yeah, I've screwed up, but you know what? I screwed up because I'm not perfect. If you can look yourself in the mirror every day and realize it, because everybody makes mistakes. Everybody does things that they regret or just screws up somehow, okay?
Yeah.
If you can look yourself in the mirror and say, well, some things are out of my hand, some things I just messed up on, and I'll try not to make the mistake next time if it comes about. You know, if you can look yourself in the mirror, you can pass any judgment from Jesus or whatever in the afterlife. Because if you can honestly look at yourself like that and still say, okay, I'm okay. Even though I'm not perfect, I'm still okay. But these people don't really look at it that way. They don't look at it honestly. They look at it, you have to go to church, or you have to do this, or you have to do that. Or you have to believe a certain thing. And once you believe a certain thing, then you're free of all other responsibilities. And they don't give it any more thought above and beyond that. It's just like the people.
I can't operate like that, Joe.
Well, I can't, and you can't, and a lot of people can't, but these people can. And unfortunately, they're extremely dedicated to their cause. And even though I despise everything they stand for, I admire their energy and how they run the political process. You know, they took over the Republican Party by completely legitimate means. Slowly but surely, they organized and they took control of the party on the local level, and then raised it up to the upper levels. And they got results very quickly. I mean, Reagan was put in merely 5 years, 5 or 6 years after they really started to use the evangelicals as part of the party. Because the evangelicals didn't used to want to be part of the political process.
Oh, no.
In large numbers.
No, they did not.
Because they felt, it soiled them. It's no good. And I remember years ago, and I wish I could remember the name of the documentary, but one of the reasons, according to the documentary that I saw, that these people got involved in politics in the first place was that Jimmy Carter was going to start investigating the Robertsons and the Falwells and all these other sham religions that are basically just there to rip people off.
Yeah.
And they realized that the gravy train was going to be over unless they did something about it. And then they realized that rather than trying to sucker old ladies out of their Social Security checks, they can make a lot more money if they were the ones who were responsible for writing the Social Security checks.
It's an astonishing con of amazing breadth and scope, Joe.
Well, we're not the first. I mean, we asked the same question about the Japanese and the Germans. What happened to them? How did they go so nuts?
That's the whole thing about the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing.
That's right. Well, we've had it good for a long time.
Yeah,
we've had it good for a very long time, and again, how you deal with adversity is one thing, but how you deal with power and in this case, how you deal with luxury, I guess, the luxury that we've had of wealth and all that is completely different, because people they disconnected themselves from the political process and from what made everything work, because they were more interested in their own things going on, their own local issues going on. As far as just, when I talk about local, I just mean them and their family.
Right.
And their close friends.
Very well said, Joe. We got to hit the break. Always good to hear from you.
Take care, Bob.
All right. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Joe Vecchio of cupofjoe.blogspot.com. Go by. It's one of the better blogs. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head on Radio Network News, I'm Bruce Birch. Freedom took it on the chin today. George Bush signed the new, more intrusive Patriot Act into law only a day before 16 of its more notorious provisions would have expired. Bush said the new law, which affects American citizens far more than any terrorist, is vital to winning the so-called war on terror. At the signing ceremony, Bush said the United States will, quote, not wait to be attacked again, end quote. There is still no answer as to why Bush waited to be attacked the first time. Dubai says it's giving up on its quest to run America's ports. The Persian Gulf dictatorship's company, Dubai Ports World, says it will transfer its ownership interest to what it called, quote, a U.S. entity, end quote. Republicans and Democrats alike are said to be relieved to have the issue disappear before the 2006 elections. Some in Congress are still skeptical. They're concerned that the so-called U.S. entity could still be a front for DP World. With hopes for the continued existence of intelligent life on Earth waning, there's interesting news from the Cassini spacecraft. Cassini has sent back fascinating photographs of water geysers on one of Saturn's moons. The presence of water on Enceladus raises tantalizing possibilities of the existence of life there. The Cassini spacecraft was launched in 1997. It is traveling through the solar system examining planets and their moons. Donald Rumsfeld says he's not up for an Iraqi civil war. Rumsfeld told the Senate Thursday that if Iraq falls into full-scale civil war, the U.S. won't fight in it. General John Abizay, the Pentagon's number one man in the Middle East, says that Iraqi sectarian violence is now a greater threat to American success there than the so-called insurgency. Rumsfeld told West Virginia Senator Robert Byrd that the Iraqi military would have to deal with the civil war itself, quote, to the extent that they are able to, end quote. There are no Iraqi army units capable of operating without American oversight. Iran's president says his country can inflict pain on the U.S. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad says his country can and will make the United States suffer if George Bush's administration tries to stop Iran from having nuclear power. Iran's supreme religious leader, Ali Khamenei, says the U.S. is using the nuclear issue as a pretext to threaten Iran. He said, quote, if Iran quits now, the case will not be over. The Americans will find another excuse, end quote. This is news from the Horn, Head On Radio Network News.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower or an elephant, what would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beach? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air, would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
The U.S. will turn over operation of the notorious Abu Ghraib prison to Iraqi authorities within 3 months. That's the word from the Pentagon today. It's no victory, however. The U.S. is only leaving Abu Ghraib to run a new concentration camp that is presently under construction at a place called Camp Cropper. 4,500 prisoners will be transferred to the new concentration camp from Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. With George Bush suffering a setback on the Dubai ports deal, Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff says that Asian bird flu may be in the U.S. in a matter of months. Chertoff made the announcement Thursday. He claimed the Bush administration will be able to stop any potential outbreaks. Chertoff said, quote, we're going to be able to deal with it because we have a lot of experience with that, end quote. In a related story, another body was found in an attic in New Orleans this week, and a house federal officials had said was empty. Chertoff also said Thursday, that removing the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA, from inside the Department of Homeland Security would be, in his words, a disaster. America is falling further and further into debt. That's the word from the U.S. Commerce Department. It is reported today that the U.S. trade deficit soared to $68.5 billion. That was more than $3 billion over the Commerce Department projection for January. A patriot made his way into the chambers of the United States Senate Thursday. Prior to an appearance by Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice before the Senate Appropriations Committee, a man cried out, quote, "How many of you have children in this illegal and immoral war?" End quote. The man also yelled, quote, "Blood is on your hands and you cannot wash it away," end quote, as Ms. Rice began her testimony. The man was taken into custody and removed from the hallowed halls of the Senate. For the Head On Radio News Network, I'm Bruce Birch.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
All right. Let's do it again for one more hour. What do you say? You heard the phone number. Learn it, know it, use it. If you want to get something off of your chest, and, you know, there's stuff that we haven't even gotten to tonight. A little story way down in the stack, you know, with the sort of banal flavor to it. You have no idea what horror it means. Headline Washington Post from yesterday. Retirement fund tapped to avoid national debt limit. The Treasury Department has started drawing from the Civil Service Pension Fund to avoid hitting the $8.2 trillion national debt limit. What do you do? What do you do when you catch a burglar in your house?
Shoot.
Hmm?
Oh, sorry.
What do you do? Let's go to the phones. David is back with us from Nashville. Hey, David, you're Head On.
Burglar in the house?
Yeah.
Well, you hope that two-thirds of him's in the house so you can shoot him and not worry about it.
Well, you know, he's got the family silver under one, you know, in the mahogany chest under one arm, and you know, he's tiptoeing back. Well, isn't that what this is, David?
Of course it is. You know, and if you're lucky, if he's in the house, you can punch his ticket, and if he falls in, everything's fine. But if he falls out, you've got a lot more stuff on your plate. But no, it is theft. And speaking of theft, I called in about that previous call. Thank you for that wonderful piece of work regarding religious industry bookkeeping. I got a little entry for you. I want everybody, all you right wingers, okay, get your notepads out. I want you to make sure you get these numbers down. I live in Sumner, S-U-M-N-E-R, Sumner County, Tennessee. And within Sumner County, Tennessee, a long time ago, there was this thing called Twitty Land, and it's an amusement park, a dance hall, the rest of it, that Conway Twitty put together. He died. And the Crouches, you know, the lady with the champagne wig and the guy that's been home for 10 or 15 years with the prehensile mustache.
Yeah, and had the relationship with the dude. Yeah, Trinity Broadcasting Network.
The real headquarters are out in California somewhere, but the second most important installation is in downtown Hendersonville, Tennessee. Well, they got there. They did some things. They redid the parking lot, and they decided there should be a big sign off of the interstate saying Trinity Broadcasting Land, next exit. And the state of Tennessee said, no, I'm sorry, that's an amusement park. We're not going to do that. Well, that made them mad, so they lodged, they went to court, big lawsuit. Okay, fast forward to about a week ago. The state of Tennessee lost in their effort, the way the case evolved, to the extent that Trinity Broadcasting was able to establish that what used to be Twitty Land, which is now Trinity Broadcasting's theme park, is a church. So.
Oh.
Yeah. So, because they got mad.
Church of the Holy Roller Coaster?
Yeah, Church of the Holy Roller Coaster and Bookshop. So, now then, my little county, it's an okay county. We're doing okay. But we now have to pay them $310,000 plus $310,000 American. We have to pay them back property taxes because now that they're a church, they don't do that anymore. And we got to pay them back for the 10 years they've owned the property. But here's the kicker. This is the one I want all you wing nuts to think about. And I want Bob to get a hold of his chair because he's going to want to levitate. They don't like talking about income at the Trinity Broadcasting Network. They don't like to talk about outgo. They don't like to talk about how much money got left in the little shoebox under Paul's bed, you know, to help the lady with the champagne wigs fluff them up now and then. They don't like to talk about
that. No, we better not talk about fluffers either.
Bada boom, bada bing.
Oh, I got a million of them.
Of course you do. 2004 was the last year that came up, and out of the court records, which they grudgingly offered Sumner County, the collective income in 2004 for Trinity Broadcasting was $180 million.
Ow.
$180 million. Now, didn't you do, don't I recall, am I correct in remembering that you had some figures about one Benny Hinn spending $3,000 a night for a hotel room?
Yeah, we did that story a few months back, yeah.
Yeah. Jets here, helicopters the other place. If he decides to do a preaching gig in Miami when he leaves Southern California, he happens to spend a week in Cabo or, you know, little things like that.
Yeah.
Even with that level of excess, that level of greed, that level of expense account padding, the Trinity Broadcasting Network said their expenses, their outgo for the year, that they had $180 million income, their outgo was $110. Somebody sitting on $70 million,
double large,
for 1 year. And they've been at that.
Well, and see, that's part of the... Now, Joe mentioned Palumbo, and I got
free.
Tax-free.
So what if they spend $3 million on a hospital to do tonsillectomies in Ecuador? I couldn't care less. So what if they buy 5,000 $2 dolls for kids in Costa Rica? They 1 year they had left over after Benny Hinn spent $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a week on keeping his butt happy. When he makes a road trip, they had $70 million left over with those bookkeeping techniques for one stinking year. And people continue to give them money.
Oh, not just people. They're so far ahead of the game, David. I mean, and that's something we don't understand. We as Democrats and we as secularists and humanists and all those other nasty things they like to call us, we don't understand that you can get rich, you can become a billionaire, $25 at a time.
Oh, you certainly can. The other thing we
Jim and Tammy Jim and Tammy Baker started off as puppeteers.
Yep.
$25.
Oh, I know.
Not even $25, $5 at a time. Blows your mind, doesn't it?
It's horrifying. It's utterly, utterly horrifying because I can imagine square those $10, $15, $25, $40 a week out of a Social Security check are coming from. When you've got people as articulate and as manipulative and as maniacal and as expert and as driven and as evil, evil, evil as Rod Parsley and Jakes and all the rest of them. Jake spends time in the White House.
Oh, yes, he does. And he sees the right people. And now, bear in mind, this is the story from last night, David. The Department of Homeland Security Center for Faith-Based Initiatives. Guess who's going to get that money? It's not the real legitimate little church in the Wildwood that has a preacher that's out there bringing people in from the cold. No, sir. No.
It's not going to be somebody like the Reverend Patrick Boyle in downtown Los Angeles in the middle of Compton that talks doctors into removing gang tattoos from individuals so they can silkscreen T-shirts in Homeboy Industries and learn how to show up for work and learn how to go to mass and then learn how to not be part of the court system. It's not that guy that risks his life walking through his parish. Oh, no.
No, it's not Jim Wallace either.
Nope.
No, it's not. No, that, you know, our tax paid dollars, which, by the way, you opened so many doors for me, David. It was mentioned in the newscast. Taxpayer dollars, which, by the way, are now going to be collected on an outsourced basis by private companies that have an incentive to get their pay is based on the money that they're able to wring out. Yeah, that money, David, is going to buy Mrs. Crouch a new bucket of mascara.
Oh, she does. She needs a better bucket. She does a better bucket.
You know, it'll pay a couple of more fluffers for her wig.
Oh, there you go again.
Well, you know. But it's disgusting, you know, and the thing is, what'll be said in the churches there in Sumner County, Tennessee, David, is that'll teach this secular humanist government to quit persecuting the Christians and the children of God. Hey.
That idea that those people are persecuted, if you drive from Nashville, Tennessee, to the Kentucky line on Interstate 65, you will see 7 churches the size of a 10-acre field.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're not talking about the little church in the Wildwood.
Oh, no. We're not talking about that little brick church where that jerk-off in North Carolina decided Democrats were going to hell.
The Reverend Sam Chandler.
That's the boy. That's, he's a friend of mine. No, we're not talking about churches like that. We're talking about cults that mandate that these people show up 6 times a week and donate like crazy, and it becomes a lifestyle. And the next thing you know, they have nothing. Their children don't know who they are or what they're doing. Oh, but another Republican has been elected. That's all they care about.
You know, I joking.
And some guy at the top is intensely wealthy.
David, last night I joked about, or maybe it was the night before that, I joked about getting myself ordained in some religion. And, you know, I think about, you heard our buddy Joe Vecchio a little bit ago.
You bet I did.
He's running a fundraiser.
Yep.
All of us liberals, we're running fundraisers. Because, you know, the so-called limousine liberals won't get behind us. You know, they're willing, you know, and I guess maybe it's partially our fault, David. You've led me off down into another discussion here, and I appreciate it. Maybe it's partially our fault because, you know, it goes back to that old saying I'm sure you've heard and a lot of people have heard, you know, why buy the cow when you can get the milk for free? We do this because it's our passion, because it's our reality, and because in many instances we feel like it's our patriotic and our civic duty. Joe's got a fundraiser going on over at cupofjoe.blogspot.com. He needs the help. So many of us need the help. I strongly suggest that a lot of us start getting our butts ordained. And then we, too, will be tax-free.
We really should. I've heard it said for decades, if I can't make it as a doctor, if I can't make it as a lawyer, if I can't make it as a used car salesman, I will fall into drunkenness, claim the Bible in a few weeks, and rise from the ashes as an evangelist, and I won't know what to do with the money.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And all you have to do, and this is the downside of it, all you have to do is be willing to be, you know, a little bit dishonest.
No.
So most of us...
It's more than a little.
Yeah, you know, most of us will continue on as we are. You know, although I do love the idea... Our friend Stephen in the UK a year or so ago christened this program Brother Bob's Cathedral of Common Sense.
Well,
and that does kind of appeal to me, Dave.
Let's all raise a small glass of 8% cider to that fine man.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll call it communion.
As well we should.
But it just blows my mind. As someone who, you know, you kind of pay attention to the money, it's kind of like you don't take your eyes off the chips at the blackjack table. The idea that Paul and what's her name, Crouch? What's her first name?
Jan.
Yeah, Jan. Paul and Jan, that they're sitting on $70 million large a year.
Yeah. What?
After they've paid the secretaries, after they've paid the butler, after they've paid the footman.
After Benny Hinn's nephew got $60,000 to cash the check. That's the only thing he did. That's after that.
And Uncle Sam says, we don't want none of that. That just
tax free. You're doing a great service. Just keep voting Republican and we'll make sure. Just headquarter your company in Ohio. It'll go even easier for you. It's no accident Rod Paisley's in Ohio.
Nope, not in the least. And we let, you know, this is, and of course, this is the great, you know, they talk, you remember when they used to say, well, you know, Social Security is the great American third rail of politics. Remember that?
Oh, of course.
Well, that's not true. Taxation of church property and church income, there's your third rail. Because, I mean, the minute you suggest something like that, you are the Antichrist at that point in time. You're done. You're the Antichrist.
You're exactly right. But, you know, as a guy headed toward Social Security, this is one old boy that's going to try to put a little spark back in that third rail, at least in the county I vote in.
Well, I hope you can. I mean, you know, a little letter to the editor activism never hurt with whatever the local... You got a little local weekly or daily there? Or
The Examiner.
You know, I don't know. Maybe you'll get firebombed for the attempt, but, you know, it's at least worth the try.
Oh, well, you know, I could always use another name.
Yeah, Elmo T. Farnsworth.
Exactly. Yeah, oh, Cameron Bob is going to come up with a different name, but we'll let that go for another time. Bob,
or Eustace. Eustace is good in that neck of the woods.
Exactly.
Hey, David, thanks so much for calling
me
again.
Bob, thanks for letting me barge in once again.
No, that's okay. That's information people need to you know, and you know, Sumner County, it's not like you're flush and you've just got $310,000 to throw away.
We're closing libraries. And we are restricting K-level school programs and Head Starts on, you know, on the ropes, and 10 Care all the way across the state's got a problem, but Sumner County's going to be forced to write Jan and Paul a check for $310,000, and these are people that in 2004 had $70 million left over to put under the bed for a rainy day. And guess what? 2005 came right after that.
Oh, God. Thanks, David.
Good night, Bob.
Take care.
I shall.
Bye now. Are you just revolted by that whole scenario? Does that just kind of destroy you a little bit? They're going to close libraries in Sumner County, Tennessee, so Jan Crouch can have a tax break.
because roller coasters are churches now. I was kind of proud of that line, the holy roller coaster. But it's reality. What had once been Twitty City is now TBN land. What is this fascination of religious charlatans with, you know, with amusement parks? God rest his soul. I remember Sam Kennison saying that he wanted to be there when Jesus came down and grabbed Jerry Falwell by the throat and say, "Where did I say to build a water slide?" I don't understand it. And it you look at the religion industry, it would be so easy. It would be so easy. One night, I'm going to do right-wing religion industry radio. And we'll just see if I could pull it off. We'll just see. Maybe we can con some right-wing religion industrialists to come in and welcome us aboard. Wouldn't that be fun? And you can all sit back and giggle. But I know that by the time I'm done, yours truly is going to be in desperate need of a shower. $310,000 back to the Trinity Broadcasting Network so little kids won't have a summer reading program at the library there. So the Head Start program can't pay its bills. Wonder if they ever got around to that part from Matthew there at the Trinity Broadcasting Network. You know, when they're done with their little abortion frenzy and so forth. I wonder if they ever got around to that line about, "If you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it also unto me." I'm guessing not. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Hi, this is Guy James. Remember me? As many of you know, I got the boot from the radio stations that carried my show a while back because I got a little too controversial for them to handle. Well, I'm back now, but I'll be doing my show 5 days a week from 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time starting on March 20th. You can join us at theguyjamesshow.com or whiterosesociety.org, and if you like hard-hitting, thought-provoking, entertaining radio, then join us starting March 20th at theguyjamesshow.com or whiterosesociety.org for the new Guy James Show.
Oh! Hey, listen, tell me something, John. Do you guys eat a lot of mangoes down there?
Not enough to base a foreign policy on.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. We don't eat that many of them here either.
The United States is India's largest trading partner, and India is one of the United States' fastest-growing export markets. And oh, by the way, Mr. Prime Minister, the United States is looking forward to eating Indian mangoes.
That's right. It's March Mango Madness. Nukes for mangoes, mangoes for nukes. Join Bruce and I, John Fox, this weekend, Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network. Catch us at fourthestateradio.com or headonradionetwork.com.
I've got this time on my hands. You are the one to abuse. Yes,
every 3 minutes, another woman gets the news that she has breast cancer. And here are some of the first words she hears: HER2-new oncogene, aromatase inhibitor, ductal carcinoma in situ. What do these words mean? How are you going to decide what to do if you can't even say what you have? Please listen to me, Marvin Hamlisch. As soon as you get your diagnosis, go to breastcancer.org. It's a special place on the internet where you can learn how to say all those breast cancer words and find out what they mean. At breastcancer.org, you can learn more about your particular kind of cancer and your treatment options. Prepare a list of questions for your next doctor's visit and get all kinds of other useful information to guide you and your family through this. Breastcancer.org, the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
In the beginning, there was dirt, water, and air. And it was good. Once, Planet Jack. Planet Jack.
With gas prices skyrocketing at the pump, there is a cheap, renewable alternative fuel.
Rudolph Diesel actually designed the diesel engine to run on vegetable oil over 100 years ago.
A diesel engine that runs on used vegetable oil?
We get the used vegetable oil from fast food restaurants.
It's called biodiesel.
I got a biodiesel.
Joshua Tickle, author of From the Fryer to the Fuel Tank, explains.
Biodiesel is a clean-burning diesel fuel that's actually made from vegetable oil. It's usable in any diesel engine. You don't have to modify the engine. You just pour biodiesel right into it.
Pour some veggie fuel into that tank.
The environmental benefits of biodiesel are that it's cleaner, it's healthy for humans, plants, and animals.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Clif Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at CliffBar.com.
Broadcasting live from a remote, undisclosed location in the wilds of wonderful West Virginia. Head On with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 27 minutes and change. Before the close of tonight's program, an email from our friend Gail down under in Australia. She says, when Benny Hinn was here in Sydney, I was still working as a stage lighting technician. He played at the entertainment center. It was the only time ever that we, the crew, were not even allowed through the gates until he had left. And until the armored cash wagon had been to collect all the money. In all the years I was a stage lighting technician, it was the only time I have seen an armored cash vehicle at a gig, and he was the only performer who was so up themself that us peasants weren't allowed on the premises. And people think rock stars are prima donnas. Armored cars at revivals done in the name of a dude who barely owned a pair of shoes. Wow. And Sue, who was having phone problems tonight, writes in. She says, what I wanted to say is about our state schools in the UK. Apparently, we are in danger of having our schools taken over by evangelist Christians, and there's actually one school that's been promoting creationism in the classroom. Channel 4, I guess that's BBC 4, runs a program, Dispatches, and they covered this problem, which is possible because our government is encouraging private funding for state schools. Oh, no. I can wholeheartedly recommend Channel 4 News to you as a reliable source. Jon Snow is a thoroughly principled reporter, and if there was any pressure being brought to bear on his reportage, he would speak out. You can register for Snowmail on the site, and you'll receive a daily briefing on the subjects they'll be covering. He's currently doing the news program from Iran, and it's a fascinating insight on life there. Oh, I gotta see this. All the problems you're facing in the Union of States are being mirrored over here. We're a virus, Sue. We sneeze and the world gets sick. It's only the internet that's allowing us to see the whole picture by the free flow of information. Over the past week, I've spoken to many people who had no idea of the true state of affairs in your country and the relationship to events over here. Change of subject, I've been asked to work from home for the local office of a national organization in the area of social policy. Atta girl, Sue! This will be mainly to formulate plans for energy and food production on a local community level. The hope is to have many local economies that will be able to trade together. I'm fed up with the frustration of hearing government talking about targets 20 years away, and my mom always told me, if you want anything done right, do it yourself. So I'm following her advice. Organize locally, then unite nationally and globally. There's nothing stronger than a union, and political affiliation shouldn't even come into it. And she adds, for all of you, much love to all, as always, Sue. Thank you, Sue. Change the world, one person at a time. That can happen. Let's go to the phones. Wayne is with us. Hey, Wayne, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
I'm okay. How about you?
I'm doing okay. I mean, especially after, I hope Brother David's still listening.
I'm sure he is.
I mean, you know, still after that news about the beer.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's good news.
Exactly.
What'd they say, two beers a day?
Yeah, two a day.
My God, do you know how healthy I am?
You're going to live forever.
I mean, they can run out of beer tomorrow and I'd be healthy. I mean, I'm way ahead of that schedule. But, huh?
Sure.
I'm going to stop going to the doctor.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, heck with that. Heck with that. So what do you think about this Dubai deal thing?
It's a con.
Yeah, it is a con. I mean, who's going to take it over? Walmart?
No, hell no. It's going to be DP International America subsidiary, wholly owned corporation belonging to DP World.
A subsidy of Halliburton or something.
No, honest to God, Wayne, it's gonna because I heard this floated last week. I heard
that's what they're going to do.
Yeah, because wimpy congressmen were saying, well, we can accommodate you. And what we're going to do is we'll let you run the ports, but you'll have to do it through a wholly owned subsidiary corporation here in the U.S., and that way it'll be U.S. owned. They said that last week. You know, my God, we're not stupid, Wayne.
Oh, God, okay. I was messing around on the Internet, and I saw it. Because, well, I haven't been paying attention all day. And, as soon as I saw that drop there, I said, what's going on here?
Right, and the White House has been as still as the grave about it. You know, no more of, well, you know, thank God I didn't have to get out my veto and crayon from Bush or any of that crap.
Oh, man, that's amazing. Those pictures of Bush are amazing, too.
Yeah, you saw that?
Yeah, it's that one with his hands on the desk.
Yeah.
I bet that's kind of what his dad looked like when he threw up on that Japanese guy.
I just want to know. The guy on the right is James Sensenbrenner, and I just want an answer to one simple question. What is that man looking at? He's looking at George the way George was looking at Condi the other night.
These people are weird.
They are.
These people are.
I mean,
really
I said some time back that, you know, I'd just as soon hang out with Charlie Manson because he's crazy, but these people do it sober.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, Charlie Manson had an excuse.
Yeah, he's nuts.
Yeah, he's nuts. Exactly.
These people mean to.
They're frightening.
It makes your...
Absolutely frightening.
It makes your head hurt.
It does that. Oh.
But, you know, this thing, this quiet little story that cropped up in yesterday's Washington Post and just makes me want to run screaming around the yard a little bit. Headline that I mentioned a little bit ago, retirement fund tapped to avoid national debt limit.
Oh, I know. Isn't that incredible?
Stealing money from the civil service pension fund. And then Treasury Secretary Jon Snow. And remember, it was Jon Snow that's already been doing business with Dubai Ports World, right?
Right.
He says that once Congress raises the debt limit, that the Treasury will, quote, restore all due interest and principal as soon as possible.
How's he going to cut the deficit in half? When did he promise to do that?
Sometime after he's out of office.
A couple, yeah, right. But how are we going to do that if we keep raising the debt limit?
You know, I didn't get that far in math.
How do you do that? You just call? I mean, I'm going to call MasterCard, tell them.
You raise my debt limit.
Yeah, raise my debt limit. I won't be paying you for a few years, but
then,
I promise to cut it in half.
Yeah, and tell them.
Right after I die.
Yeah, and tell them we'll carry the interest by raiding, Citicorp CEO's pension.
Yeah. There you go.
I mean, this pisses me off, Wayne.
And that it ought to, Bob.
I mean, now here's the really good part, Wayne. Guess where this story in the Washington Post was located?
Oh, page 29D or something.
Well, you got the letter right, D4.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that's somewhere back behind the lady shoe sale flyer.
Well, they got a real thick paper, too, right? I mean, that takes a long time to get to.
Yeah, you're a day and a half getting through A. You know, cooking is like C.
Right.
You know, I mean, this is back behind the TV listings.
Because you like to cook.
But. Yeah, but this is behind, you know, this is, you know, you got the horoscope, and then you've got retirement fund tapped to avoid national debt limit.
Oh, God.
No, I'm just sick with this stuff. You know, we talked about Bernie Sanders last night, and you said, you know, he's a good guy. I've had a beer with him, remember?
Yeah, what did he do?
Well, you know, well, that was down toward the bottom of that story about the five Vermont towns calling for impeachment.
Yeah.
Well, Bernie issued a statement saying that we all know Republicans run the House and the Senate, and it would be impractical to talk about impeachment.
Oh, that's disappointing.
That's very disappointing. I'm tired of that disappointing.
Oh, geez. Well, I mean, you know, you got to discuss it.
Yeah. I mean, it's obvious to me.
Gosh.
But, you know, I don't know. I get either I'm really, really smart or I'm just really, really naive and simple and, you know, well, Mr. Kincaid, you don't know what it's like in Washington, D.C. It just, you know, it doesn't work that way. You can't run around talking about dear leader like that.
Yeah, but, I mean, this guy, I mean, you know what kind of odds this guy has put up with all the years that, I mean, I don't know how long Bernie Sanders has been there.
Yeah, a good while.
I bet he's been there going 20 years.
Every bit of it. Yeah, 16, 20 years, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, he had to fight what a lot of people would consider, you know, unsurmountable odds.
Well, him calling himself a socialist and everything. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, you know, that's building your own mountain to climb.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And, I like Howard Dean's description of him better when... I don't know, Howard Dean was being interviewed by somebody and says, how are you going to get along with Bernie Sanders? You guys have had arguments in the past, you know, if Bernie makes it to the Senate, which I think he will. You know, he's a self-described socialist, and Howard Dean said he's not a socialist. He's a progressive. He's just confused.
Well, I wish he'd get unconfused about fighting these SOBs in Congress.
Well, I wish he would, too.
We have a certain job that's involved with that, Wayne, and it's called giving these dudes cover. We have to give them political cover. They have to be able to say, you know, I have had 19,000 pieces of mail that were mailed to my office, made it through the anthrax machine, and came to me and had gravy stains and little coffee circles on them written on personal stationery, and they want him impeached.
Yeah, and they all had the same sentence.
Exactly.
Right.
We know how it works now, Wayne.
Oh, God.
Have yourself a good night. I appreciate it, Wayne.
Okay.
Later, brother.
Talk to you later, pal.
Bye now.
Bye.
And first-time caller Richard in California. Hey, Richard, you're head on.
Hi, Bob. This is Richard in Northern California.
How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. I've been enjoying your program a whole lot. One of the things that's so refreshing to me is to hear all the wisdom in the flyover states, you know?
Yeah, well, we're so close to D.C., I don't think of us as flyover country, but I guess we are.
Well, you know, I think we're used to thinking that the only left-wing voices there are on the coast. And so it's really refreshing to hear all those people from, you know, those states.
Yeah, Tennessee, Alabama, and that's the thing. It's part of the trick that's been played on all of us, Richard, don't you think? This idea that there is no liberal thought in Mississippi. I know there are liberals in Mississippi.
Yeah, that's really great. So it's very comforting. And I should just say that I was in radio briefly myself.
Kind of sound like it.
Really? Well, I was working as a classical music radio announcer back in the 60s at a station in Springfield, Massachusetts, which was pretty strong.
in terms of power.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm flashing back on was all the propaganda that that came spewing out of the teletype machine.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and we had these five-minute rip-and-read newscasts.
I used to do them myself.
I'll bet. And at that time, as I recall, UPI was the better of the two wire services that we had, and that was the machine that we had.
Mm-hmm. Big old black iron thing, was it?
I remember it being tan.
Okay.
And it typed Z's instead of E's all the time.
and changing a ribbon was just, you know, you knew you were coming out with your hands completely inked.
Well, thank God I didn't have to do that. I held the place down on weekends and actually lived in New York City. And you probably can hear that from my voice.
A little bit.
Yeah. The thing that I recall, okay, so I said the that UPI was the better of the two wire services, and now, of course, UPI is owned by
the Moonies.
The Moonies, and we have Reuters.
Yeah.
So the landscape is different, but you know, doing classical music radio, there are long periods when you don't have anything to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because the music is long, and I am a classical musician by training.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm one of the few people who's actually worked in that field and know something about the music, as opposed to sounding like
it. Yeah, as opposed to reading the dust jacket.
Yeah. So, you know, I put on a long recording and go and see what I could find. And one day I was looking through a file cabinet, and I came up with a UPI style guide, you know, how to write stories for
mm-hmm.
us. And it said, don't use inflammatory language and don't link words together, such as leftist, student, and agitators.
Well, what a nice idea.
You know? And I would find, when I came in, I would find a bunch of feature stories left for me hanging on a hook. We would read these things during intermissions. We had we were carrying the Boston Symphony live rather than on tape, and so there would be a real long intermission in the middle, and we were supposed to read copy to fill the time. And so I would have these pieces that were written by a guy named George Martyr, and they were nothing but, you know, flaming yellow journalism. And after a very short time, like, I just couldn't read this stuff anymore. I think I managed to gag my way through one story, and that was it. You know?
Yeah.
So it was ironic, because here's the style guide that says, you know, don't use this inflammatory language, you know, that was used, in effect, like, for red baiting almost at
right.
the time. And so it said, don't do this, and yet there's this guy who's writing features for these people, and he's just laying it on all over the place.
Well, you know, I think some of it had to do, Richard, with the fact that the style guide was sent out to individual stations in case anybody wanted to write a story that they would then submit to the wire service as an affiliate.
Okay.
But the guys at the home office sort of had a little bit more free rein. But the thing is to at least suggest that not be done anymore. But we live at an age now, Richard, where I don't know if you saw him a couple of a year or so ago, whatever it was, when elements of the style guide, if you can call it that, for the Fox Network were released.
I've seen a little bit of that. It's really shocking.
It is. I mean, they sit down and they have their editorial board meeting every morning, and they say, you know, today we're crucifying Hillary this way.
Yeah.
And you can see it in action. Well, you know, the gang at Comedy Central at The Daily Show are particularly good at it. I forget what it was they were talking about the other night, but there was one story, you know, well, we're going to move on. We're not going to talk about that kind of thing. And then they spent the rest of the day talking about the Entwhistle that allegedly shot his wife and fled to England and then was extradited back.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
They spent the whole daggum day on that after having said, well, you know, there's real news out there. You know, this is a con, Richard. There's no doubt about it. you know, whether it's the Dubai ports deal, and that's going to be run by a wholly owned subsidiary of the country of Dubai, and we're just going to be, we're supposed to be happy about it, whether it's that or this, you know, all the religion stuff you see sweeping across the nation, it's one con after another. The way that Jack Abramoff manipulated gambling interests with, you know, literally little old ladies' dollars and cents from their Social Security money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we live in the... I mean, there's a reason that the first syllable of conservative is con.
Well, you know, I'm here in very close to San Francisco. And so our political consciousness around here is mostly different. It's a liberal area in general, and it's one of the problems here. I'm just like two cities north of Berkeley,
mm-hmm.
and one of the problems that we can have is that we can get so used to the way things are around here that we lose touch with the fact that there are red states out there.
Oh yeah, and the really one of the nice cons that's been run, and it's so nice to have someone from another part of the country. You live in what a lot of us think of as a liberal paradise,
which it is not.
No, it's not. There's a lot of trouble there, and I mean, my God, if San Francisco will support Michael Savage, all cannot be well in the city by the bay.
Well, see, that's correct. People come. I think. One of the big fallacies is that a lot of people in the rest of the country, and that includes me years ago, look to the West and they think that this is paradise and they would love to live here. And it's not, you know.
Yeah.
San Francisco is a city with real problems. It has terrible political corruption. Well, it's gotten better. And, you know, if you take away the hills, what you have is an Eastern-style city. It's very densely packed. You know, mm-hmm. it's like an old Eastern city in its compactness. Real estate is insanely high.
Cost of living's miserable, isn't it?
What's that?
The cost of living itself is just miserable.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. It's so expensive to live here. Yeah.
But the thing that I think we need, and I'm not anybody to issue marching orders or anything, Richard, but what we need for folks in places that are traditionally thought of as liberal, we need you guys to know and understand, well, like what you said that you're hearing out of this program, this business with red states and blue states was a deliberate act. Do you see what I'm saying? This idea that you can just paint Alabama red and say that everybody in there is a knuckle-dragging moron.
Yeah, and that's, you know, one of my favorite people on the radio is Christopher Lydon.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've heard him.
Yeah.
He got himself fired off of WBUR a few years ago. He's, to me, a very good talk show host. And, you know, I start thinking of him as, hey, wait a minute, this guy is a Baptist intellectual.
It kind of stuns you, doesn't it?
It does. It really does. And then I feel so warm about it, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the church I was raised in, Richard.
Yeah, and I wanted to know a little bit more about that, Bob. Could you speak about that?
It was mentioned earlier that there was a time when evangelical Christians wanted nothing to do with politics because they understood that once you get embroiled with politics, politics is going to get embroiled with you. And I was raised in what was for that time an early version of a megachurch. But it was full of wonderful Southern, at the time, liberals. Honest to God, the place where I was raised, Richard, was a place that was literally lifted out of the floodwaters and the dirt and the filth by the Tennessee Valley Administration.
Aha! Uh-huh. Yeah.
And as a consequence of that, there's just a bizarre relationship with George Wallace and all those nasty things that swirled around. But in that church, there was a desire to do the right thing. There was a reach out, and there was caring and giving, and I talk about the little old blue-haired ladies in the basement, and I'm not being demeaning to them. They
gave me the ideals that I live with at a very basic ground level. You know, little tiny in the church nursery, and, you know, don't hit the other baby.
Ah. So do you think that, you know, we talk, I mean, I hear people talking on your show, and, you know, I certainly do with my friends, the issue being, well, you know, we seem to think we know where it's at. We have compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we get the message across to these other people, you know? That's one of the most frustrating things to me.
It is frustrating, and I'm so guilty. Because I look at them and I see cause for mockery and laughter, and I do make mockery of them. I don't know how else to respond to someone who's, you know, more than willing. If the, you know, if God forbid the bird flu comes to America and there's a bird flu vaccine, these people will run out and get it, but they won't understand that the thing's been produced because there's, you know, because there are scientists who study evolution who understand.
Yeah, but the, you know what I'm thinking too is that. I'm hoping, at least, that within every religion there is some basic core that is good. You know, there's some tradition that has value, and maybe that's the place to reach.
You're absolutely right, and Bear, one other thing. We're almost out of time. I wish you'd called earlier. I would have loved to extend this conversation.
Well, I'll call you again.
I hope you will call back, Richard.
Yeah.
The other thing is that cults of personality don't do well without the personality in question. And whether they realize it... whether they realize it or not, Jerry Falwell's going to die.
Yeah.
And Pat Robertson's going to die. And James Dobson's going to die. And Kennedy is going to die. All these malicious SOBs are going to go, and according to their lights, meet their maker. And I wouldn't want to be there for love nor money when they do, because it's not going to be pretty.
Really? But, yeah. What are they going to do? What do they call this, purgatory? So Georgie's going to be up there and God's
going to... Nah, they're going straight to hell in Baptist theology. Ain't no purgatory.
What have you done? What have you done with your life? Well, I cut taxes for the rich.
Yeah, I've sown misery and injustice and hell and damnation on earth. See ya. But the thing is, you will see, perhaps, with the absence of these personalities at the head of these cults, you will see perhaps a return to those core values.
Mm.
When these evil people die. Because
are there those who will take their places?
Oh, there are those who will take their places, but, you know, the guy who followed Mao and Zhou Enlai were no Mao and Zhou Enlai. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, exactly. It's true. That's very true.
And it's going to be watered down. And frankly, there is a paradigm shift coming in this country. There is a social change that is on the way in this country that will not admit the existence of that kind.